again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. That's all the intro I had written.
Hey, I'm Brian. I'm the lead rambler. I'm here to talk a lot, because, you know, stuff. Because it's preview season. Because it's always preview season.
God, it is always preview season. Luckily, we're not going to spend an entire episode on this.
If you ever feel like it's not preview season, you're wrong.
Yeah, you are mistaken.
You're just missing it somewhere. He's Chewy. He's the lead.
Oh, I have to go last now because you interrupted it. We got to keep the flow. So that means Mike is the one screwing it up.
I'm Mike. I'm the rules kind of gambler guy, and I think it's episode 25. Is that correct?
It is 325. You are correct, sir.
All right, great.
Dirk.
And
look, we take a week off and everything just goes all to hell.
Oh yeah, it does. So I'm Dirk, the self-proclaimed greenest man alive, moral compass of the group, and I'm watching as my son hopefully does not die. No, don't touch that either. So listeners, so when we were getting set up and everything, my oldest son. So what we do is we'll play one set. We're going to eat you. And so my son will come running in here and go, I eat you, and go all over my arm. So if you hear that happening, that's what happened.
Yeah, it's not actually the ooze monster. Those are in Mike's apartment.
That's right.
And I am Chewy, and I am bad at this game.
Yeah, he is.
So anything good happen since we didn't record last week?
I won a draft. That was actually before we recorded the previous actual episode, but we didn't talk about it.
Oh.
So that was cool.
Word?
Yeah, I first picked a Storm Chaser Chimera and never looked back. And I was rewarded with three Spellheart Chimeras in the Theros
pack. Wow.
Yeah, it was wild.
Dang it, man. I started playing Skyrim again.
My air conditioner broke, so we're going to have to get a new one, because there's a leak, and they could put more Freon in it, but it's not going to do any good. It'll just leak. So, I'm caught. Hey,
that happened here in the apartment. That's when... So, I might have told the story before, but our maintenance guy sometimes frightens us.
Like, previews!
Like when he fell off of a small stepladder, or when he was in the kitchen working on something, and all of a sudden we hear, and the TV shuts off, and he goes, because we're like, oh god, are you alright? He's like, yeah, just grounded out a little bit. Like, oh, okay. He's like, oh, did I get the TV? Damn. And he went outside and flipped the switch or something, but then he came in when our AC went out, and it was leaking Freon real bad. He came in with like a welding torch, and Scott and I were like, oh god, oh god, oh god. Because we just knew he was going to burn a hole through his thigh or something. Set the place on fire. Something to that effect. So preview!
I actually had an AC-related misadventure just this past Friday.
Uh-oh.
I came home after work, and I was changing clothes, and I heard a noise. And there was water dripping into the area back around where my hot water heater is and the big AC vent that goes up into the ceiling is. And it was pretty bad. And I called the emergency maintenance line, and it turned out that the apartment above me, their AC unit had gotten too low on Freon, and a huge mass of ice had formed around it. And that huge mass of ice was now melting into my apartment.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
That was pretty obnoxious to have to deal with.
So preview!
Previews.
We've got,
Conspiracy.
Yes. So we talked about a bunch of the, like, new cards. Conspiracy cards.
Right.
After I left.
After Brian left.
And there was something I said about the, wait a minute, what did I say? Yeah, it was about all the draft related cards being banned. That's not accurate. It's the conspiracies themselves that are banned in Vintage and Legacy.
How annoying is it going to be? I just have to say, because I think we've covered all of the conspiracies, but we can check. How annoying is it going to be when people don't note things in secret for the conspiracies when the game begins, but just say, oh, I meant to say this when I did. No, you don't do it later. You do it at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I should, bring a fresh notepad with me to hand out pieces of paper to other people.
So I probably would, because I don't want anybody going, oh wait, you know, for Secrets of Paradise, hidden agenda. You know, it turns creatures you control the Chosen Name are into basically birds of paradise. Oh, look, this is the card I happened to have in my hand at the time, so I'll just name that. No, you name it at the beginning of the game. It's a risk, but it's also a free card that doesn't count toward your 40, so yeah, or your 35. Because of, you know, the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. So there's a lot of cool cards here. And I love how not just the rares and the mythics are awesome, but I love how when I'm looking through here, I can tell, all right, they're promoting a token strategy in white. And they're allowing you to take this approach when you combine these colors, you know, so it really rewards good drafting. It really actually reminds me of Modern Masters in that regard. Because you've got the little feeder cards that go along with those themes. And then you've got cards like Intangible Virtue, which is a reprint from Innistrad, that help push the token decks along. There's a lot of stuff here that I did not think they would print or reprint maybe ever, or certainly not for a while, and I wonder if it's to make Modern more accessible.
Wait a minute, again, these aren't Modern legal.
No, but though these
well, the reprints
cards,
of Modern legal stuff.
Oh, I see, yes, what he's saying. Okay.
That's what I meant. For example, I'm gonna I'm looking for something that's this example of that. I don't know. If somebody sees something awesome that they want to mention, just go ahead and start naming awesome things. Because otherwise, I'm just going to talk the whole time. It's going to be like this, 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 this.
Hey, look, Ray of Dawnbringer's in the set.
I saw. And that angel, that other angel, Pristine Angel, is in the set as a mythic, which is probably about right.
Oh, yeah.
But Rhea is a rare. But she costs 9. So, meh.
Yeah, she costs approximately 800. Oh, my God, they put Soul Catcher in here.
They did.
That was cool to see.
That is awesome. And look at that art.
I was kind of excited to see the Vow of Duty. It's the only vow that they put in here. It's the white one. But you remember the vows they were in.
Oh, they were in the first commander set, right?
First commander set. And they all had like, hey, you know, don't attack me. This one for 2 and a white, enchant creature. Enchant creature gets +2/+2, has vigilance and can't attack you or a planeswalker you control. So it's like, hey, go get somebody else. So it promotes the multiplayer theme. And, I was a little sad to see it was the only one, but I figure, hey, you know, white has the auras sub theme and buffing creatures, so it makes sense. Wakestone Gargoyles here as an uncommon. It was a rare back in
Terrible Gilpatch. Rare though, so, yeah.
It was a build around me card, and I can see why it was a rare. But I think it's good as an uncommon. I think that's where it should be.
Yeah, and there's a strong defender sub-theme in this set.
There is. Did you notice there's a cycle of creatures that enter the battlefield with +1/+1 counters, and you can pay 3 and remove a counter to do blah?
Yeah, the black one was the one that we saw in an earlier preview.
Right. Article. That enters the,
and
it's a basically.
Now they have the rest of them.
The black one enters with a +1/+1 counter for each creature in all graveyards. And you can remove one. Target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. White one.
The white one gets +1/+1 counters.
I remember it's a dumb name.
Yeah, it's the Custody Soulbinders.
Custody. I'm like.
It gets +1/+1 counters equal to the number of other creatures on the battlefield. And you can remove a counter for 3 mana to get a white flying spirit token.
I do like how these seem to like, they set it up. Now it's a rare, so you're probably not going to see maybe one, but if you were able to bounce one or something, or you happen to have another one, when all of these kind of advance, themselves, like when you play another one, it's going to be bigger. Like the black one is going to kill stuff and then the next one will be bigger and the white one is going to make more creatures and the next one will be bigger.
So but I realized
yeah.
that I just threw out Soul Catcher like it weren't no thing, but it hasn't been printed in like 100 years.
Odyssey?
Yeah. Odyssey, yeah. So
I know,
Soul Catcher.
I say Odyssey when I mean Onslaught, but actually
but
Odyssey.
Actually Odyssey. So Soul Catcher is a 1/1 bird soldier for 1 and a white. He's an uncommon in this set. Was he always?
He always was.
Okay. He's a bird soldier with flying, and when a creature with flying dies, he gets a +1/+1 counter. So
he wasn't a bird wizard?
No, he was a soldier.
But why isn't he a wizard?
Oh, because they put Soldier on there back in the day, and now it's too late.
That's strange.
But hey, he goes in your burn deck.
No, see, because all of his buddies on the battlefield die, and then he gets pissed off and stronger about it. See, like Hulk Smash, except Soulcatcher, you know.
Except that's not how the name and art are concepted, but yes, I get what you're saying.
Flavor! Who needs it?
There's actually are a couple birds in the set,
fill
too.
Fill my soul.
What was that, Dirk? Brian was talking. Shut up, Brian.
There were a couple birds in the set as well that I was looking through and noticed a few. Did you guys also see that the land cycling guys are back?
Yeah. Yes.
Which is cool.
All of them are. And it looks like that there's a enchantment, at least in blue and white. That gives your creatures +1/+1 in some sort of ability. The intangible virtue is the one for white.
Yeah.
And the one that gives all the flying things, everything flying in blue.
Favorable winds.
Favorable winds.
Favorable winds. Yep. Which is awesome. Dark's right. There are a fair number of not just birds, but like flying cards in general. And that's where you see a lot of the spirit sub themes for white. I don't think we have seen some of these voting cards before. I know we don't want to take forever with this, but like, for example, Council's Judgment for 1 and 2 white. It's a sorcery. It's a rare. Will of the Council. Starting with you, each player votes for a non-land permanent you don't control, so you're okay. Exile each permanent with the most votes or tied for the most votes. So that creates some interesting politicking. But I like how this can't bite you in the butt, because I would hate to go, hey, play this, and everybody's like, yeah, Brian, lose your thing. I'm like,
that's a feel bad. And don't forget the real powerhouse. I've seen the real powerhouse in both white and blue. In white, it's Pillar Field Ox. In blue, it's the Plated Sea Strider.
I was just looking at that.
Yeah, this is some amazing limited fodder.
Well, the limiteds, they've definitely got this geared toward limited. With enough things for constructed that you're going to want more packs.
You might think I was being facetious, and I only sort of was. Both of those are really good in limited.
Pillar Field Ox, and any sort of Pillar Field Ox is pretty good. And when it has an ability, it's usually like, oh, yeah. Swords to Plowshares, because it's Swords to Plowshares. But Unquestioned Authority, I've been trying to organize my magic cards, because I'm always trying to do that. And I found some Unquestioned Authorities from Judgment. I'm like, yes, I need to play with this card, because it's awesome. And that was... I don't think so.
It might have been reprinted in, like, Plane Chase or Commander or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But I like this art. For 2 and a white, enchant creature, when it enters the battlefield, draw a card so it replaces itself. And the enchanted creature has protection from creatures, i.e. it's unblockable. It can block any creature that it could normally block and not die. So it's
cool. Wasn't reprinted at all lately. Huh.
Hey, look at that.
Chewie, you might be thinking of an aura that's been in core sets recently. It gives +1/+1.
+1/+1, and okay, yeah.
And you don't get a card.
Yeah. Hey, look, Brainstorm.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Brainstorm as a common, and it costs a blue. Why does it only cost a blue?
Yeah, people can finally get Brainstorm from booster packs instead of box sets.
I was extremely impressed to see Brainstorm and Breakthrough.
Whoa, look at that. Yeah, I just noticed that was a reprint.
That was pretty huge. From, Breakthrough.
What, Torment? I've got one of those.
From Odyssey Block somewhere.
Torment.
And it's actually really good to set up your graveyard-type decks to just go, Breakthrough, haha. Don't pay anything for X.
Hey, look, Factor Fiction.
I saw that. The blue +1/+1 counter guy is the Academy Elite. 0/0 for 4. Enters the battlefield with +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of instant and sorcery cards in all graveyards. And when you remove a counter, you loot. Loot, loot. It's a human wizard. Yay.
Whoa, there's a jetting glass kite, too. The glass, what were they called? Was it glass kite? No, they were...
Yeah, glass kites.
Were they called all glass kites? Okay.
I think so.
So for 4 blue-blue, it's a 4/4 flying spirit. And whenever it becomes the target of a spell or ability for the first time in a turn, you counter that spell or ability. What was it? When was this printed? Kamigawa?
Yeah, Champion's Block.
Yeah. Champion's Block? Did you really just call it that?
Kamigawa Block.
Oh, whoops. I don't even know why I said that.
I don't know.
Isn't there a legendary one that gives all your creatures this ability?
Kira, Great Glass Spinner.
Yeah.
She's pretty awesome.
But this she's a legacy and vintage playable card herself. Yeah.
This one is more expensive, so it's not as playable and constructed, but it's huge. So, and difficult to remove. So, it's awesome. So, yeah.
So have you guys all gone through and seen what the mythic card is in all of the five colors?
I think so. I didn't. I believe each color has one mythic card.
Each color has one mythic.
Yes. Huh. Like in
so
blue,
white is Pristine Angel.
Blue is it's the new legend where it's the artificer guy who's really awesome.
Muzio. He's cool. Black is Phage.
Yes, I saw that Phage was there. Like, yay! A new generation of gamers will see Phage, which makes me happy. And she's no longer a zombie.
She's an avatar.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Good. Well, I think there's Scourge of the Throne.
Right. Which is new. And, about the
green one is the Hydra.
The Hydra,
Omnivore.
It eats
the Hydra Omnivore.
I believe we've seen it before.
Yeah, he was in a commander set, I think.
Yeah.
Or Plane Chaser or something.
Something like that. So
I could see him being in a Plane Chaser or something like that. He's definitely the ultimate multiplayer guy, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
Pretty much. Don't worry, I'm only attacking Mike, but I'm really attacking all of you.
It was the first commander set.
That was ages ago.
There's Misdirection.
So wait a minute. Go back to the mythics. What does Muzio Visionary Architect do?
Have we not talked about him before?
Have we?
No.
We have. So he costs one blue for a 1/3 mythic legendary human artificer. For three a blue and tap, okay, you look at the top X cards of your library, where X, oh my god, X is the highest converted mana cost among artifacts you control. Okay, you may reveal an artifact card from among them and put it onto the battlefield and put the rest on the bottom in any order.
Battlefield.
Wow, Esper.
That's huge.
That is.
And the bigger crap that you get out with him, the deeper you can dig.
Although at that point, it's just kind of like, okay. At that point, they really should be killing this guy. I don't think we've talked about Plea for Power yet.
Oh, no. I was looking at that earlier when Dirk went off on the mythics. Where did it go?
That's right under the Muzio.
Muzio. I don't know where the hell we are right now.
We are bouncing around everywhere.
Yeah. Dirk took us out and I brought us back. Plea for Power, which is really weird. For three and a blue. It's a sorcery. It's rare. It's got Will of the Council. Starting with you, each player votes for time or knowledge, and immediately you should be going, oh, no, because time can only mean one thing in Magic. Flipping coins. If time gets more votes...
No, it's tapping things.
No, that's sleep.
Oh, right.
If time gets more votes, take an extra turn after this one. If knowledge gets more votes or the vote is tied... draw three cards. You notice how the stronger effect is usually the one that people have to actually vote for. And the other effect, the tie vote, is usually still really good. It's maybe not as good. So this is either a time warp for four, which is a mana cheaper, or a ancestral recall for four, which is three more and is about right. So sweet.
I think the comparison is concentrate, not necessarily the recall.
Meh.
Okay, so it's a split decision. Whatever.
Just because someone called you on it for the last episode.
I was shocked to see Stifle.
What was it that they called you on last week with the card drawing?
What?
We missed one. Jace's Ingenuity? Is that the one we missed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd forgotten about it.
I was shocked to see Stifle.
Stifle's awesome.
I mean, it's awesome. It sees legacy play. So I was like, wow. Yeah,
it was printed one time in a small set 100 years ago. Yeah. And it's still great.
And that was Scourge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does so much stuff. Oh, sack my fetch land. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I'll activate, sneak attack. Oh, really?
Well, that one you just pay for again.
Yeah, I hope they
not
have
if,
another
not
one.
If it's their one red. And all
that's
you
true.
There's corner cases for everything being awesome, but this ability for just a single blue, at the time they print it, they're like, we don't know what this will do, so have fun with it. And people are like, eh, okay. And in Standard, it didn't do anything because in Odyssey, in Onslaught, it didn't do anything about goblins. And then in Mirrodin, it didn't do anything about affinity. But in Legacy, they're like, woo! So.
Screw you, Phyrexian Dreadnought.
All right. Anything else in blue?
Man. Traveler's Cloak.
Oh, yeah.
That's a reprint from what? Like Torment?
Back in the day.
Invasion.
Invasion.
Do you know that?
I'm looking at going, wow, this is common?
I know that. It was an uncommon in Invasion.
Oh, okay. Yes, it
well,
was.
I mean, for three
no, it was
mana.
A common in Invasion. What?
It's a common here.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you what's essentially draw a card, and you get land walk of the color of your choice. Of the land type of your choice. I'm sorry. Land.
It's a creature enchantment.
Right.
As it enters the battlefield, you draw a card, and you name a land type, and the enchanted creature has land walk of the chosen type. I think we've covered it now. For me, I mean, that's pretty good. I like that it replaces itself. It's cool.
So, cost three? For some reason, I remember it costing four. I wonder what I'm thinking of.
The wrong card.
Yeah.
So moving
clearly
down.
It costs two less.
Or just one less. Moving down one to Fleck. I said this on Monday Night Magic, but I really love everything about the Grudge Keeper.
Grudge.
It's a great card.
It is so
awesome.
Great.
It's awesome.
Like the art, the flavor text, the flavor of the card, the fact that it's a 2/1 for two.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
So read it.
Okay. It's I thought you were going to read it, but okay. It's Grudge Keeper. He keeps the grudges. And for one and a black, he's a 2/1 zombie wizard. He's a common. Whenever players finish voting, each opponent who voted for a choice you didn't vote for loses 2 life. That's pretty awesome. And that 2 life, you know, that's fairly significant. I find it interesting. It's not just like 1 life or something. But that makes it so interesting. Like with some of these things where you know that, like with time or knowledge, you know they're not going to give you an extra turn. So you just say time. And they're gonna they're either gonna give you an extra turn, which is bad, or they're gonna take two, and you get to draw 3 cards.
Which is a pretty good deal for 4 mana.
And a creature, yeah. Sweet Ness. Like Ness from Earthbound, that's how sweet it is.
And the thing is too, is if you have several of these guys out, you know, you could take a lot of damage for not voting in someone's favor.
And for the voting cards where you're not choosing between two things, you have a bunch of stuff to choose from. It makes your opponents, you know, their choices are even more limited because they don't know whether they want to vote for something else entirely among all the different choices. That sentence came out of my mouth real weird somehow. I don't know what happened.
I didn't notice. I thought it tasted fabulous.
Okay.
So just quickly scrolling through black, I see some of the great multiplayer cards. Ill-Gotten Gains is a great multiplayer card. Mm-hmm. For 4 mana, each player discards his or her hand, and then you get back 3. Each player gets back 3 from their graveyard. Okay? Infectious Horror. When it attacks, each opponent loses 2 life. Liliana Spectre. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent discards a card. Siphon Soul, which is great. Smallpox. Stronghold Discipline. I think I might have missed, or that might be all of them. But there's so many awesome multiplayer cards. Oh.
Wow. Reign of the Pit's a good one, too.
What's that?
Reign of the Pit for 4 and 2 black. It's a rare sorcery. Each player sacrifices a creature. Put an XX black demon creature token with flying onto the battlefield where X is the total power of the creatures sacrificed this way.
That's pretty cool.
So everyone sacrifices a creature and you get a demon. With flying. That could be a meek or he could be a mighty, depending on what each person gets rid of, has to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, sometimes you're only going to get like a 5/5. But hey, you got a 5/5 and all your opponents had to sacrifice a creature.
Mm-hmm. Stronghold Discipline plays into that too. So for 2 and 2 black... Common sorcery, each player loses 1 life for each creature he or she controls.
Hmm.
So you have to sac creatures, and if you do play more creatures, then you lose life, and you're going to end up having to sacrifice it. Ugh.
Dark's playing some sort of weird 60-card deck over there.
Yeah, I'm looking at this going, wow, this is like creature hate. Give me your creatures. Hate, hate, hate. Hate, hate, hate. Hate, hate, hate.
Hate, hate, hate. Hmm. I'm rolling down through red. I see a bunch of stuff that's like, huh, but nothing.
They brought back the good art for Boldware Intimidator.
Oh, yeah, the feature site art.
Mm-hmm.
That is much more betterer.
This one's got better art, too, for the Chartooth Cougar.
Yeah, I don't know what art that is on the Chartooth Cougar.
Was that from Fencer versus Koth?
That is? Okay.
It's from Awesome versus Awesome.
Because the original Chartooth Cougar art was, in my view, it was very cartoony.
Okay, let's see. Commander was the old art. Yeah, Avenger versus Co-op. Jace versus Chandra was the original art. So yeah, there you go.
And they have the freaky art for Cinderwall, but it makes more sense than a bunch of burning coals falling on a lemming or whatever. I don't know what that is.
I don't remember the other art for Cinderwall. Click. Oh, what the hell? Yeah, the Weatherlight printing of Cinderwall is dumb.
I had to step away for a sec, which is why you didn't hear me talking lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. Did you talk about how awesome it is that Siphon Soul's here?
Yes.
Yeah, we mentioned it.
Okay. Did you talk about how awesome it is that Victimize is here?
No.
Not yet.
And you're in red. Ah. For two and a black, as a sorcerer, it's an uncommon. Choose two target creatures in your graveyard. Sacrifice a creature. It doesn't say sacrifice target creature. If you do, return the chosen cards to the battlefield tapped. I like that. Anyway, Barb Shocker is awesome. I swear, when I was looking through this, they're like, they took some of my favorite cards of all time and put them in this set, because I have never met anyone else that ever played with Barb Shocker, and here it is. Yay. That's all I have to say about that.
Heartless Hitetsugu's back.
Yep.
Tap to the half each player's life total.
Yep. It's a good thing commander damage has to be combat damage, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think one of the first times Chewie and I played commander, we didn't know that, and he killed the crap out of me with a Mage Slayer equipped to his commander.
Yeah. Grinzo's Rebuttal is
Grinzo's things are pretty cool.
Yeah. He's got a cutthroat that's got first strike and dethrone, and creatures with dethrone get the counter when they attack, right? Not when
right.
they, yeah. Sweet. Yes. So it's basically, well, I won't say it's basically a 2-2, but, and it has to be a player with the most life or tied for the most life. It's not an opponent with the most life. So that is kind of interesting. But the rebuttal for four and two red, what?
Well, I mean, this is meant to be played in a free-for-all format, so...
Yeah, but sometimes you're not going to be able to attack yourself.
Or ever. You're never going to be able to attack yourself. Which is why I don't understand the...
So it's not always going to be able to get a counter. You can't always choose to attack the creature, the player with the most life.
Oh, okay, now I get it. Okay.
I was going to say it's basically a 2-2 for two, but it's not. So Grenzo's Rebuttal for 4 and 2 red is a sorcery. It's rare. It's interesting how this works. First, you get a 4/4 red ogre creature token. Then, starting with you, each player chooses an artifact, a creature, and a land. And I think I read ore. An artifact, a creature, and a land from among the permanents controlled by the player to his or her left. It also says chooses, not targets, which is, you know, important. Destroy each permanent chosen this way. So it's kind of like saying, hey, here's an ogre that someone could very well kill, but, you know, maybe they're killing that instead of something else, I guess?
Yeah, that's what it is. And that's part of the reason why it doesn't target to be able to work that way, because otherwise the ogre wouldn't exist in time for everyone to choose targets.
It's and.
Yeah, I thought it was or too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, but thinking about multiplayer, this is a great way to put a huge freaking target on your head. Everybody just stop what they were doing and kill that guy. Although he could say, hey, you're the ones that made the choices, but really? Really? It's your fault.
Yeah, well, won't everyone also be kind of annoyed with the person on their right?
Yeah, but if it weren't for the person that played this, I don't know. the red +1/+1 counter guy. This guy's interesting. I'll let someone else read it because I just read one. But he costs more than the others do. It's the Ignition team.
The Ignition team costs 2 red and 5 for a rare goblin warrior. And he enters the battlefield with +1/+1 counters for all the tapped lands on the battlefield. And his ability is, pay a red and two, remove a counter. Target land becomes a 4/4 red elemental creature. Until end of turn, it's still a land.
This guy is the most expensive, but I think it's so awesome. I think I like it better than all the others. It's the one you have the most control over X, because the number of creatures you control, you know, if they're doing a good job of eliminating your creatures, you might be holding on to the white guy forever, and it's never going to be that good. The blue one, especially in limited instants and sorceries, you might have a bunch, or it might be that you drafted a whole bunch and you just don't ever see them. The black one, the creatures, that one's pretty solid. I'll give you that one. But again, you can't just always run it out there.
Yeah.
It takes work. This guy, unless you're doing something silly to cheat him out. Oh, look, turn one, you know, sneak attack, play this guy. Congratulations. but as long as you're paying mana, you're getting at least, like, let's say you've got a land out that produces more than one mana. You're getting at least a 5/5 out of this. And that's if you're the only one with any tapped lands. This thing is not going to be a 5/5 or a 7/7. This thing is going to be double digits every time.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, and if it's not, that means all of your opponents said draw go. And they didn't advance their board, in which case, hey, that's awesome.
And they countered it with Dream Fracture. I like this guy a lot.
Yeah, and the friends he makes are really big. 4/4 is big.
Sure. I kind of like the theme it has with Mana Geyser too, where for 3/2 red, add a red to your mana pool for each tapped land your opponents control. They printed that in Mirrodin or Darksteel or something.
And yeah, one of those.
It wasn't as reliable. This was when they were first starting to give the ritual effects to red, and you saw, like, the one that for 3 makes 5 red mana.
Yeah, Seething Song.
Seething Song.
It was actually printed in Fifth Dawn, the one you guys didn't mention.
Okay.
I mentioned Fifth Dawn. I thought I did.
And this one didn't take off the way the others did, because first of all, it costs 5, and second of all, it's completely reliant on your opponent, and especially in 2-player, it's not that great. You've got to have them at least at 6 tapped land before that means anything. But in multiplayer, that's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. So, yay, Devil's holding hands up to provoke the enemy, Heckling Fiends. I liked Heckling Fiends when it was in Estrad, and I like it here. Because they're holding hands. Not holding hands, like, together. They're holding hands on sticks.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
The one that terrifies me, card-wise, is Sulfuric Vortex.
A very oldie but goodie from Scourge. Wow, lots of Scourge.
Okay, you notice that, too?
Yeah. Maybe it is less about modern and more about vintage, because some of this stuff is pretty highly sought after.
What is the Vortex 2, Dirk?
For 1 and 3 red, or 2 red, sorry. It's a rare enchantment. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, Sulfuric Vortex deals 2 damage to that player. If a player would gain life, that player gains no life instead.
This was
the one that everyone was like, oh no, this is gonna be ticking, puts everybody on a clock.
This is the ultimate, this game will end card.
And it will end with not too long from now.
I remember I got a couple of these in Scourge when we were playing, and it, you know, at that point I've been playing for about a year, and especially in multiplayer, it felt like everybody gained life, because that was just where we were at in the multiplayer group. And, you know, when you're facing off against 5 other opponents, 20 life does not feel like a lot. So I was all too happy to put these in, like, every red deck I had and just go, this is all. And I kept thinking people would disenchant it. More often than not, it meant that everybody started killing me. But hey, you know, again, the game was getting
old. Sped the game up.
But this thing will scare the crap out of everybody.
Mm-hmm. It definitely sped up the game in that, okay, I have nothing that gets rid of this. Well, I've got to kill this person before I die.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes everyone a lot more aggro.
Yeah.
That was usually the best, especially back when we were first starting up. That's usually the best way to remove a Sulfuric Vortex, was to remove the player that played it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Treasonous Ogre? That's kind of an interesting ability.
I think he's really cool.
I mean, it's a 2-3 for 4 mana with Dethrone, which is okay, I guess. But the whole pay 3 life, add a red mana, seems, it's not dangerous, it's not broken, but it's got the potential to, you lay this guy, they play it back to you, and if you want to pay 3 life or 6 life and be a couple turns ahead in development, that's pretty sweet.
Although yeah, sometimes you only need, keep going, sorry.
I was just going to say, in multiplayer, it's actually a little safer than in duels because you have more people to control whatever you play. If I spend a bunch of life and play out something really fast, all it takes is one person having one removal spell to set me back again. And I feel like 3 life is pretty safe. It's not, if it was like 1 life, it would be stupid. And if it was 4 life, it would be stupid the other way. What were you going to say?
I was gonna say, what was I gonna
sometimes
say? Oh, yeah.
You just need.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you just need, one more mana.
Yeah.
Or two more mana to do something super huge.
And it's a red specific mana too, so.
And, he also has a hidden, dethrone enabling aspect to him. Cause he lowers your life total.
Oh, hey, I didn't, wow, see? See?
So if you are the person with the highest life, like Brian was talking about earlier, you can just say, oh, I'll just get some red mana instead. Attack you.
and that might make the difference between winning this turn and winning next turn.
Yeah.
So, or them being able to block your guy profitably or not.
Right.
Now you have to do that before you attack, because as soon as you attack with anything, any dethrone triggers would have to go on the stack. You can't attack and then say, okay, I'll pay 3 life, because they're already attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little FYI. Volcanic Fallout. I remember they printed this and they thought it was going to contain fairies, and fairies was already way too bad at the time.
I mean, it helped.
It did help.
Did it?
No. Yeah. I mean, not everyone, enough. Volcanic Fallout.
Not enough, because the deck was just, because the fairies deck was just too good already, but
yeah.
It helped a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was playing Volcanic Fallout in their sideboard, if nothing else, if they had red, because of the fairies. Because its value actually jumped and stayed there for a while to be an uncommon. Back in the day, but yeah, it couldn't bring it down.
And now we get into Dirk's country.
No, oh, wait a minute. You missed Rinks. One of the bestest ones. The Vent Sentinel.
Pushing the defender theme that Mike mentioned. Hey, there in Rise of the Eldrazi, you can draft.
It was me, actually.
Oh, really? I thought Mike mentioned it.
And he thought you mentioned it, but you're both wrong.
It was Dirk.
Yeah. The truth is, we don't give Chewie any credit.
That's also true.
You could, in Rise of the Eldrazi, you could draft the defender deck. You might not always win, but all it took, you get 3 enablers on board and it's going. So what's the Vent Sentinel do?
So the Vent Sentinel for 3 and a red is a 2/4 elemental defender. He's common. Was he always common? Yeah.
Yes.
And for 1 and a red and tap, he deals damage to target player equal to the number of creatures with defender you control.
Win condition.
And further down, there's actually a creature who spits out in a defender's. I think it's in
gold. Yes, the artifact. That's awesome. And it's in white and red. So, sweet.
Yeah.
So now, we're in green.
Wait for it.
And no. I love, straight off the bat, there are 2 things that make me go, aw, because one's from Mirrodin, and one is from Odyssey. Or maybe it's Torment. It's Odyssey block. And one is Echoing Courage, and I loved all the Echoings, and that is the only one of the cycle that is here, which is good, because if the blue one was here, I would hate everybody forever. Because Echoing whatever blue, Echoing blue?
Echoing Bounce? Echoing...
Echoing Bounce.
Truth?
Echoing Truth is really aggravating. But Echoing Courage actually pushes some of the white-green token stuff. For 1 and green, instant target creature and all creatures that share the same name as that creature get +2/+2 until end of turn. Sweet. And it's always just a pump fill if you need it. And then the one next to it. Oh, Dirk, what's the one next to it?
Elephant Guide.
Who doesn't love some Elephant Guide?
Elephant Guide is great. For 2 and a green, it's an uncommon aura enchantment. Enchant creature gets +3/+3. When enchanted creature dies, put a 3/3 green elephant creature token onto the battlefield. Oh, your creature died. Oh, your little 1/1 died. That's okay. Get a 3/3 elephant. It'll be all good.
Well, it was a 4/4 at the time. So, there's everything. Everything about this is awesome, and it only costs 3 mana.
It's like they wanted 3. There's 3 three abilities. Three abilities. Ha ha ha.
What's the third one?
They cost it's, three.
It costs three. Oh. You get a 3/3 and or your creature becomes three, gets +3/+3 and you get a 3/3 when it dies. So 3/3 abilities. With a third being the cost. Shut up.
Shut up. You ever noticed how things that say guide in the name are kind of, like, there's a 50-50 shot that they'll be absolutely terrifying? Elephant guide. The two remove from your hand guides, what, Elvish and...
Elvish spirit guide.
What's the red one?
Simian spirit
guide. Simian spirit guide. Sig river guide is pretty good. There was the griffin guide. There was karmic guide. Well,
the griffin guide was a throwback to elephant guide.
Yeah.
So. Exploration.
Goblin guide. Okay,
exploration.
Yeah, guides are really good. I should build a guide deck.
Guide is good, isn't it?
What? Exploration.
The Elvish Aberration. Such a great card, except it's so expensive.
Well, that's why it's got forest cycling. But if you ever get this thing onto the board, you have all the mana you will ever want forever. And a 4/5
If you got
body.
Onto the board, it's sort of the same thing like, was it the Croson Tusker? No. What was the one that we always cycled because it's...
Yeah,
you got a land and a card?
Yeah.
Croson Tusker.
It was the Croson... And when it, if you were to hard play the Croson Tusker, everyone looked at you funny like, why'd you play it?
Yeah, that's a
well, this one I could definitely see hard casting because it either accelerates, it fixes your mana early in the game. It doesn't really accelerate you because it doesn't put it onto the battlefield, but it fixes your mana early in the game, or it accelerates your mana like crazy, plus gives you a decent sized body later in the game. So I'm good with either way. Exploration.
Exploration.
I don't know how I feel about Gamekeeper. When I read it, it enables a certain deck, and I get that. But when I read it at first, I thought it put it onto the battlefield. Oh, it does put it onto the battlefield. I thought it put it into the graveyard, and I was like, what? Okay, here's what I thought Gamekeeper said.
Put all the rest
said.
Of them onto the battlefield.
Here's what I thought Gamekeeper said. When Gamekeeper dies, you may exile it. If you do, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card. Put that card and all other cards revealed this way into your graveyard. And I'm like, that is dumb. And I thought, okay, I don't know what he's keeping about the game. He's leading them to die. Okay, it enables graveyard. Sure, whatever. But no, it's put that card onto the battlefield. This is why you need to read the card.
Read the card.
Read the card,
Read
Ryan.
The friendly card.
Now, see, now I feel better about it. At first I was like, I don't know if I like this or not. I think I like it a lot better now.
And all the cute little snapping turtles help.
No, snapping turtles. Exploration!
There is a fairly strong morbid theme in red and green. There's several things with morbid in green, and there's at least the burn spell with morbid Brimstone Volley, which was always one of the best morbid cards in red. I think that's the only morbid thing in red, but green has several things. I was like, morbid.
There was the Banshee in black. It's the only one I remember. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Banshee. I forgot about that one.
And Tragic Slip.
Right.
Hunger of the Howl Pack is awesome. For a green, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. If a creature died this turn, put 3 +1/+1 counters on it instead. How do you like a permanent giant growth?
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So what's the, Dirk, what's this Hydra thing do that's awesome? We kind of alluded to it before, but what is it exactly?
So the Hydra Omnivore for 4 and 2 green, it's an 8/8 mythic Hydra. Whenever it deals combat damage to an opponent, it deals that much damage to each other opponent.
It's an 8/8.
So here's a hammer to your face. Oh, and by the way, the hammer shattered and sent shards at each one of you too.
It's an 8/8 for 6. With a really great multiplayer ability. The only thing that stops this from being dumb is that it doesn't have natural trample.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank all the goodness.
Yeah, the favorite trick I've seen in some of the, I don't want to say douchier commander decks, but douchier commander decks is to give it infect and attack one person and then they all die.
Yeah, that'd be juicy.
Exploration!
Call him out on that.
You know what I'm gonna say instead? Palakka Laka Laka Laka.
Palakka Worm is such an awesome creature. also from Rise of the Eldrazi, like a lot of the stuff. Yay, Onslaught Block and Odyssey Block, which is what I meant to say, and Onslaught Block.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Scourge stuff.
And a lot of Scourge stuff. A lot of big stuff. And you know, that was the theme with a lot of these. Scourge was dragons, and Rise of the Eldrazi was battle cruisers, and those are the two that come to mind, but, you know.
And Odyssey was grave, you, nothing.
Big stuff. Big grave stuff.
So Palaka, what's up, Palaka?
For four and three green, yay, three devotion to green. It's a seven. So for seven mana, it's a 7/7 worm with trample, which is pretty nice. We just discussed a Hydra without trample. Hits really hard. When it enters the battlefield, you gain seven life. So it's a nice cushion. And if it dies, you draw a card. It's the whole package. A while
ago, something big, you get something big with a lot of really cool abilities.
In Limited, this thing, you slam this every time. It's just awesome. The regaining seven life that you've lost or putting you that much further ahead and having a huge guy that if they ever die replaces itself. I mean, what else do you want?
With trample.
Literally. Yeah, with trample.
And he's uncommon.
He's always been uncommon. He's not a rare.
I did not realize that. I thought for that he had to be rare.
I had to look it up. I was like, this something's not right here.
Is Predator's Howl a new card with Morbid?
It is. I just looked it up. It is not a reprint.
Sweet. Well, I just talked, so somebody else say what that is, unless we just need to keep moving.
Yeah, it's an instant. For some reason, I thought it was a sorcery.
It's an instant.
Yeah, the Predator's Howl for three and a green. It's an uncommon instant. You get a 2/2 green wolf token. Or, if something's died this turn, you get three wolves instead.
At so to go with the howler, the howling wolf.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only thing that kind of keeps it in check is that usually if something dies, it's probably already died in combat. So you may not get to block with those right away because it is an instant. But if you have a removal spell and this could be a complete blowout.
Yeah.
I'll kill your biggest guy that's coming at me and then I'll get 3 2/2s. Do you just want to concede, or are you really going to make me play this out? So, is Provoke a new card?
No, it's very old.
Provoke is from Stronghold.
I remember that Provoke as a mechanic was in
Onslaught Block.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the second. Legion was the first one because I remember that the Provoke Sliver was like the promo. Well, one of the promos.
Provoke was an ability.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
That's
okay.
And it was in Legions, and maybe showed up in one or two other sets. I don't know.
Honestly,
I've really seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I love the art for it.
It this Provoke is like almost the precursor to having a keyworded fight because it's the same sort of flavor. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have this guy, and it's going to attack. It's going to attack that guy, and that guy has to block it. And in case you didn't think you were going to block with it, we're going to go ahead and untap it. Now, you know, you can still do tricks like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to tap it because it's a bird of paradise. Duh. But otherwise, you're blocking with it. It draws a card, too, so that's pretty cool. And the art, as Dirk did allude to before I started talking, which was like 5 years ago, is pretty sweet. That guy is like, bring it on.
Because it's like you threw mud in his face and he's just like, oh no, we gotta fight, bro. We've gotta have it out.
Yeah, on Monday Night Magic, we figured out that this is actually a big older cousin.
That's cool.
Yeah. So what it actually says, since Brian could not just read the stupid card, for one in a green instant, untap target creature you don't control. That creature blocks this turn if able. Draw a card.
Yeah, sorry. I guess I kind of leaned a little bit on the fact that it was a pre-existing, well, at this point, pre-existing keyword. So, but it hadn't been seen in like 10 years. Hey, look, Realm Seekers is cool.
Is it?
I like it.
Talking about that?
No.
Maybe? Not yet.
Okay.
This one is another one of those ones where later in the game it might be harder to be big. I think I like it. Do I like it? I think I like it.
Well, read it while you figure it out.
For 4/2 green, it's a 0/0 elf scout. It's the one in the cycle of +1/+1 counters. This one gets a +1/+1 counter for each card in all players' hands. So you have some control over yours. And then the removability is, it's not even rampant growth. It's lay of the land. Search your library for a land card. It doesn't say basic land, at least, but it's search your library for a land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. It's kind of interesting. Now I don't know how I feel about it, because you're not going to play it until later in the game unless you accelerate it out. And then do you still need ramp or the... I don't know how I feel about this. How does everybody else feel about it?
I think it needs to be a little bit cheaper.
It's okay.
I kind of agree with Brian on this, because by the time you get six mana, you know, your hand's not going to be very big. Other players' hands are probably not going to be very full. Like, if you were playing with a whole bunch of people, yeah, this is pretty good. But if you're just playing with, like, three or four people...
Well, let's think
about
it.
You might end up with maybe... I mean, he'll still be like an eight, probably,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, doing some quick math. Eight, which is good.
An eight for six that doesn't hit all players when it attacks? Come on.
But you're probably... But the thing is that you're probably removing a counter each turn to go and find lands, which, I mean, well, finding lands is not a bad thing, but at the same time, your creature's getting smaller.
I guess my response to that, Dirk, is you pretty much do whichever you need more. Like, nobody's forcing you to remove the counters.
Do it!
Do it.
No one's forcing you to eat, but you know...
And, you know, I guess I do agree with you to a certain extent, but I guess I kind of figured, well, if it's later in the game and you just don't want to draw any more lands... You just slowly remove them all from your deck, so you're not drawing them, I guess.
Well, my thought is that much later in the game is that probably, yeah, it's still going to be eight. Like, if you play him as soon as you've got six mana, he will probably be a little bit bigger. Mm. But I'm thinking late in the game with, you know, you and three other people, he might actually be a lot smaller than eight.
Maybe. In which case,
unless you throw something in there that makes
in.
People draw cards.
Well, you know, there are parlay effects.
Parlay. It is not parlay. We looked it up.
I have seen Pirates of the Caribbean more than any person should ever see it.
Yes, you have.
Sakura Tribe.
Never say that on the ride. There's always cannon fire and Jack Sparrow.
Hey, Dirk.
Yes.
Dead men tell no tales.
Isn't that what the squid guy said in the water? In the waterfall?
No, that was Davy Jones, and he said something else to somebody. Dead men tell no tales is what the skeleton says at the beginning.
Yeah, well, you know, staked or sorted to his...
Hey, look, Sakura Tribe Elder.
Hey, it's him. And there's a scaled worm right beside of him that's from... gosh, when was the last time scaled worms were printed?
Some.
I don't know the last time. The first time was Ice Age.
That looks like 7th edition art.
It's still not a great card. It's a beefy card, and sometimes you just need things for the top of your curve. I still love the art. I loved the art the first time I saw this in the core set. I was like, I want this card, even though it's not that great, but I love the art. So, sweet. But sometimes
9th edition, actually.
Sometimes you just need a big guy. You over there with all your Sakura Tribe Elders that aren't going anywhere, or me with my big guy. Selva's Enforcer has Parsley.
Parsley.
Each player reveals the top card. When it enters the battlefield, each player reveals the top card of his or her library. For each non-land card revealed this way, put a +1/+1 counter on it. It's a base 2/2 for 4. Then each player draws the card. It seems that whenever you do the ability, it starts with P, everybody reveals the top card, and then everybody draws the card. So it's kind of a it's a feel good sort of.
For each non-land card, X happens. Really, is the the only difference. Hey, look, squirrel nest.
Hey, look, spore cap spider.
No one cares about spore cap spider. Hey, everyone cares about squirrel nest, except for me.
I mean, it's pretty good for just tap. Yay, yeah, but I still don't squirrels. Care. Does anything else care about squirrels? I don't think so. But you know,
only if you put an elephant guide on him.
Ah.
Anything else in the green? I mean, there's Terastodon, but that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what else to say about it. It's everybody knows it. It wasn't that long ago. It was like in Rise of the Eldrazi, I think.
Zendikar.
So
yeah, I thought it was in Zendikar itself, wasn't it?
Maybe. Hey, look, Bassandra Battle Seraph, which was in one of the commander sets. I like the things that were in these limited sets showing up in this set.
You guys are good at dancing around the block for a certain car.
What's it do?
What?
No, he was. You didn't hear him tell us that Terastodon was in Worldwake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that we keep missing the actual sets that these some of these.
You got the block right. Luckily, I have Gatherer.
Dancing, I thought you meant like I'm doing a good job of alluding the things and not actually saying what they do. So.
Well, that I mean, that's you it. Are doing that, but I wasn't alluding to that. I would just say it. Dak Faden.
We've actually gone through several of these multicolored cards already because they're awesome and they usually start with some of the awesomer stuff. Is Death Reap Ritual new? It looks new.
Pretty sure, mm-hmm. Isn't it?
I think it so.
Oh, it's a Morbid card.
And it's sick.
Yes, what's it do?
For two of black and a green, it's an uncommon enchantment. And it has Morbid. At the beginning of each end step, if a creature died this turn, you may draw a card. So
that's sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. I also really love the card next to it.
Dax Duplicate? I thought we talked about it before, but maybe not. I was wrong.
Dax Duplicate is a clone that gives the creature Haste and Dethrone for two, a blue and a red. So, that's cool.
Haste would be enough. That would sell me on it right there.
Yeah, but no, they added Dethrone too, just to make it awesome.
Last year, when we did the April Fool's episode, and I made the Commander cards, and we played the Commander game with it, I made a clone that just enters with a +1/+1 counter, and Chewie and Mike were talking about how much they love that design. So this feels very similar to that, except in the context of this set, then having Dethrone, it can keep getting +1/+1 counters. Not to mention, again, you know, Haste. That's pretty sweet. So, sweet. I love me some Dimir Doppelganger. I've always had like 4 or 5 or 6. I kept pulling them in original Ravnica.
I've got a couple too.
Yeah. It basically turns into a clone of something in a graveyard.
Yep.
If
only you keep those stupid Eldrazi in the graveyard.
Is Decimate a reprint? I feel like it is.
Oh, yeah.
Is it originally from Onslaught? I mean, Odyssey. I really meant Odyssey that time.
No, it's older than that. We talked about it pretty hard last week because it's awesome.
Okay.
It is from Odyssey.
It is from Odyssey?
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay. We got it right.
I remember that Corey kept
we talked about a couple copies.
And was always waiting for a chance to actually play it because you have to have a legal target for every one of those.
Okay, yeah, with the old rules, Decimate always had to have 4 distinct targets. With the new rules and the way it's written, you're allowed to choose the same thing for 2 of the different items.
But there still has to be at least 1 artifact, 1 creature, which may or may not be the artifact as well, 1 enchantment and 1 land.
Right. Yeah. But the old way it worked and the old way it was written wouldn't allow for that.
Right. I agree.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Edric is awesome.
It wasn't the way it was written, because the old way it was written is exactly the same. So it must have just been the way the old rules.
I love the fact that they've actually updated with the new art from Ravnica. And the flavor text is, anarchy comes in many forms. Social, individual, gruel. So kind of tying it into a reset. So. Edric is a reprint from a Commander set. Yay. Extract from Darkness. That has to be new.
It is.
It almost looks like a spider coming out of the sewer.
Well, what's it do, Dark?
For 3 blue black, it's an uncommon sorcery. Each player pulls a spider out of their deck and puts it in Chewie's toilet and scares Chewie. Each player puts the top 2 cards from his or her library into his or her graveyard, then put a creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control.
I mean, I guess it doesn't need to be a rare, but it still feels pretty good. It's basically a zombify, or a rise from the grave, I guess, since it pulls from any graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
With the additional, you know, see if you can get something a little extra. Because the 2 cards isn't going to matter a whole lot for milling purposes, but... the additional, maybe there's something I want, but let's see if we can get something better. Hey, Chewie, don't you have to go to the bathroom right about now?
I don't think so.
Well, don't look when you go.
I never do.
Okay, good. Hey, there's that thing that Chewie was talking about from before.
Yeah, the Flame Rite for a red and a white is an uncommon human artificer. For 1 and tap, you can get a 1/1 colorless construct artifact creature token with Defender. Man. And you can tap and sacrifice a creature with Defender. Tap this and sack a creature with Defender to deal 1 damage to target creature or player.
I want to see it. I want to see the token for it.
Well, yeah.
I like this. I like the fact that it gives you versatility, and you can always just tap it if they're going to blow up your Bat Sentinel or something. It doesn't have to be an artifact. It's just a creature with Defender. Or you can just make a mountain of guys to sit back and block all day long.
Yay.
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 Seen that.
Renzo is crazy.
We need to tell us about Renzo.
Yeah. Mike, what does Grenzo do?
Grenzo costs, he's a creature with X in his mana cost. He costs a black, red, and X for a 2/2 legendary goblin rogue. And he enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters. His activated ability is you pay 2. You put the bottom card of your library into your graveyard. If it's a creature card with power less than or equal to Grenzo's power, put it onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
I swear we had talked about that. This thing is so awesome. I love it. And I actually like that it deals with the bottom of the library instead of the top because it's harder to manipulate. But there are still ways to do it.
Like Scry.
And the fact that it can be basically as big as you want, and you may not even have to do that ability. It's just like, oh, I was so busy hitting you with my 6/6, I kind of forgot that it had this other thing.
Whoops. Hey, question.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Does Marchesa's smuggler look like Kevin Costner to anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have said it, I can't not see it.
Good job.
Like, wow. I'm just flipping through, and I'm like, hey, there's Kevin Costner. Wait, what?
At least it's not Kevin Costner from Waterworld.
Oh, that movie was... No, it wasn't. That movie was terrible.
Maybe it's Kevin Costner from The Postal Guy. Postman? Whatever
Postman,
it was.
Postman, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
The book was really good. The movie was okay. Anyway, so Marchesa Smuggler is really cool. It's Kevin Costner, and for a blue and a red, it's a 1/1 human rogue that's uncommon. It has Dethrone, and for one a blue and a red, target creature you control gains haste until end of turn and can't be blocked this turn. So you can use it like on himself to just build him up, or you can use him to drop some other thing and then go blah and hit people with it.
I do like that it doesn't require him to tap, so like you said, you can use it on yourself. Or you can go, hey, look, here's a big guy I just played. Too bad it doesn't have haste. Too bad you've got those blockers. Too bad I have 3 mana. Too bad I don't have a blue, or that would be awesome. Hey, look, Mirari's Wake, because this is... Once I got to this point, I was like, oh, my God. And the next 3 cards...
Yeah, like from
here
down, it's sick.
It's just ridiculous. Dirk, tell us what Mirari's Wake does, in case you don't already know. And if you don't know...
I'll read it. So Mirari's Wake, for 3 green, white, it's a mythic enchantment. Creatures you control. Night-night, Trevor. It doesn't say that.
It's in the flavor.
Creatures you control. Night-night, Trevor.
Creatures you control get +1/+1. Whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana to your mana pool of any type that land produced.
So it's an anthem and a mana flare.
Uh-huh.
Which you may not realize how good that is.
It's so good.
It's so good. Lay this down, and if nobody disenchants it, congratulations. Wow. So that's Mirari's Wake. And that was not the most impressive card here. It's way up there.
It's interesting to see it with the mythic rarity. Like, this is one of those cards where if the mythic rarity existed at the time, it would have fit right in there.
I think so. And even if it didn't at the time, because again, it's 2 fairly understood effects, and putting them together, you may not go, but I feel like if it wasn't before, it has gained the notoriety that it deserves to be mythic now.
Yeah.
Like if they were to reprint Mastacore, which is not here, but if they were to reprint it, even if you didn't feel like it necessarily needed to be a mythic card, it's Mastacore, so it has to be mythic.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
So since Shuey had his little spout, Mortify, does it look like a cannonball or something just like plowed into the guy's neck?
I don't really see a cannonball, but it...
But like a firework or a projectile like plowed into the guy's head or neck,
yeah,
and you know,
it looks
just
like
sort
somebody,
of exploded right there.
Somebody lit a firework and like put it on the end of a knife, and then they threw the knife and it hit him in the neck.
Because it's like there's this trail of smoke coming out of the side, and then there's like this explosion like in his neck that spread to his head and everything.
And for some reason his arm is exploding, but just ignore that part.
So what does this amazing cannonball exploding
the cannonball run
do? Because they didn't, unlike Putrefy, they didn't print this one in Ravnica, Return to Ravnica.
Yeah, Mortify is an uncommon instant. For 1, a white and a black.
destroy target creature or enchantment. And when they printed Putrefy in Dragon's Maze, and they didn't bring Mortify back, I was like, hey, where's Mortify? And then they showed Theros, and I'm like, oh, okay, got it.
Probably a good idea.
Let's not do that.
So, yeah. This may be some of my favorite new flavor text of ever. Many who cross Sorin's path come down with a sudden and fatal case of being in the way of a millennia-old vampire. It just needs itis at the end. Okay, so I saw Mirari's Wake. I'm like, yes! And I saw Mortify. I'm like, yes! Even though it's just an uncommon, it evokes a strong image. It's a great card. And then I went one card further, and I'm like, kablow. Just kablow. If you haven't heard of this card, it is notorious, especially in multiplayer groups. It did amazing things in Standard, but man. And if you ever read any of, what's his name, who came up with the Rattlesnake and those, the distinct, when he...
Anthony Elongi.
If you ever read, this was like one of his favorite cards all the time. It was the one that every other card was ever compared against. This is the Pernicious Deed. And it took me like 12 years, and I've only been playing for 10, to pronounce it correctly. But for one, a black and a green, it's an enchantment. It's mythic, and you know what it does? Nothing when it hits the field. But you pay X and sacrifice it. Destroy each artifact, creature, and enchantment with converted mana cost X or less. Dirk, don't hit me. I really don't think you want to attack me. I promise. You should attack me now. Dirk's I'll not playing mine. Along. Okay. Okay, good. I blow up everything. Wow, that could have been a lot better. How awesome is this card? Anybody that's played with it or played around it or been played against it, how awesome is this card?
Super awesome.
I wouldn't know. I get blown up every time.
I still have a copy somewhere. I don't believe it's in a deck. I don't know how that happened. It needs to go somewhere. Part of the problem is it needs to go in every deck that has black or green in it. So I'll be happy to get more because it's Pernicious Deed. So what else we got? Sky Spirit, a new card? It looks
that's also very old.
Yeah, it's from Tempest.
Yeah. Sweet. 2/2 flying first strike for one, a blue and a white. Seems good.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Pretty good.
Yeah. But Spirit Monger's back, and Spirit Monger is another one of those things that was terrifying back in the day.
It's still not fair. I mean, it's a little better now. It's a little worse now that they don't just have like Terror and Dark Banishing and those targeted effects.
I don't think Terror and Dark Banishing would work on this card.
That's my point, is that now that we have more just straight up kill creatures.
Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't understand.
Now that black can kill things that are black a little easier.
Mm-hmm. So Spirit Monger, for 3 a black and a green, is a 6/6 rare beast. And when he deals damage to a creature, put a +1/+1 counter on him. Aha! And you can pay a black to regenerate him and pay a green to turn him the color of your choice until end of turn. And that part's always been a little silly, but it has its uses.
It has its uses. Mm-hmm. Fighting against this thing is the most demoralizing experience ever. Because it's already a 6/6 for 5, and you either chump it and it gets bigger, or you just take 6. You know, because... Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the original Rock deck, Spirit Monger was the Rock.
Yeah. I think there was a Spirit Monger or two in a green-black deck on some version of Duels. I want to say not this last version, but the version before, the one that had Plane Chase, because I played the heck out of that version, and I remember some Spirit Mongers, and it had that same feeling of, like, either utter joy on my part or utter despair. And now, I mean, I don't know if it's really any worse, because they've moved away from Terror. So you can target it, but most things allow for regeneration now, which is what he does. So I don't know. It's still awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Is Spontaneous Combustion new? That's awesome.
No, that's also from either Tempest or Stronghold.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
For one, a black and a red, instant. Uncommon. As an additional cost to cast it,
Tempest.
Sacrifice a creature, so that creature blows up, and then it deals 3 damage to each creature. Spontaneous Combustion does, not the creature, in case that matters.
So
this strikes me as, you know, you walk in, everyone sort of gets like, you know, gasoline goes everywhere and everyone, and then someone's just like, man, I really need a cigarette. And as he's lighting the cigarette, he causes everybody to go up in flames.
Got a light?
Yeah. Another one of those cards that sort of clears the field to each creature. So it's yours, his, Chewie's, Mike's.
You take 3 damage. And you get 3 damage. You and you look under your seat. You get 3 damage. Sweet.
I got that, Brian. Look under your seat. You took 3 damage. It took me a minute. I got it.
The Woodvine Elemental has parlay.
Parley.
Just not.
Yeah. I'm sure you talked about the Aether Searcher last week because it's ridiculous. Ultra Dementia is a reprint. Coercive Portal is not a reprint and is mythic and is all sorts of yummy. Dark, read the Coercive Portal.
Okay.
I want to hear your. Have you read this before?
I have not.
Yes.
Coercive Portal for 4. It's a mythic artifact. Will of the Council. At the beginning of your upkeep, starting with you, each player votes for Carnage or Homage. If Carnage gets more votes, sacrifice Coercive Portal. Coercive Portal. And destroy all non-land permanents. If Homage gets more votes, or the vote is tied, draw a card.
It's Homage, but... So
I love the way that Brian is suddenly teaching people how to pronounce things.
I know.
This is one I actually know. But so every turn you either get a card or you blow up the world.
All non-land permanents.
That's,
if it destroyed every permanent, oh my gosh.
Well,
we'd have to kill AJ. My wife's going, kill AJ, kill AJ.
I like it.
Let's see. A lot of clockworks.
Yeah, all these clockwork creatures.
I don't see any orange in there.
Drafty.
Death Render's from Lorwyn. It's nice to see it back.
I think the Cogwork Grinder is really interesting.
Well, tell us what it does.
For 6 mana, he's a rare artifact creature as a construct. And he starts at 0/0. You draft him face up. And then, as you draft a card, you may remove it from the draft face down. And the reminder text is telling you those cards aren't in your card pool. And the Cogwork Grinder enters the battlefield with +1/+1 counters on him for all the cards you removed from the draft with Cogwork Grinder.
So when you're getting those 13th, 14th, 15th pick cards and they're just not going to make it into your pool, you're just like, oh look.
Yeah, you can say, I'll just make my grinder bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that's keeping this guy in check is that he does cost 6, and without removing anything, he's a 0/0. So you do have to, you know, put some time into it, but you're not going to use every card you draft.
Yeah.
Just don't make the mistake. Just don't remove the one thing and then go, man, I really wish I drafted Disenchant. I did draft a Disenchant. Where is... Peace, Strider. I don't really care about Peace Strider. What I do care about is Rune Servitor, because I like Rune Servitor. Costs 2 mana. It's a 2/2 construct. It's an uncommon, and when it dies, each player draws a card. It is short, it's simple, it's sweet, and it has the draw card phrase. And, you know, it gets you some love. So, because everybody. Dark, I know you love Vedalken Orrery because you put it in every...
I just now saw that.
You put it in every deck.
Oh, I'd put it in every deck, every minute, every second. For the Vedalken Orrery for 4, it's a rare artifact. You may cast non-land cards as though they had flash.
Oh, yeah.
Short, that's the one simple, that's in the X sweet. Deck so that I can play sorceries at instant speed.
It I mean, it's such a simple thing, but it just does it so well. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yay, Warmonger's Chariot for the defenders. Hey, Wall, get on the chariot.
Hell yeah, my Wall of Stone is gonna kick your ass.
And I got kinda like with the multicolored spells, I got to the lands and like Mirrodin's Core, yes, because I play the heck out of some Mirrodin's Core in multicolored decks. It's a land, tap it, add a colorless to your mana pool, or tap it, put a charge counter on it, and then later tap it and remove a charge counter from it to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool, so you can charge it to give you colored mana. I thought that's pretty cool. And I saw The High City. And I'd read that before. I thought it was pretty cool. And then I saw Quicksand. I didn't care about that. And then I saw Reflecting Pool. And Reflecting Pool is another one of those cards that everybody plays.
Yeah. Reflecting Pool is one of the best. I love Reflecting Pool.
What's it do?
It's a land. It's rare. And you can tap it to get one mana of any color that a land you control could produce.
So if you get it out on turn one, doesn't help you.
It's dumb. It can't even make colorless mana by itself.
But if you've got out like a vivid land, you can just play this and tap for any color.
Mm-hmm,
exactly. Same with the Tendo Ice Bridge and that sort of stuff.
And Meriden's Core.
A certain vendor that sells Magic cards online has already, I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong line. I thought they were out of stock for the pre-order for this. They're not. They have a couple of those left, but it's pre-ordering for $11.99, which feels about right. Foils of the Shadowmoor version are going for $60, and the Tempest versions are around $15. So that's, I mean, it's a good land.
Yeah.
I wish I had some. I don't have any.
So
I guess I need to draft some Conspiracy. I think that's about it, because I think we've... at the time that we did the previews last week, which, again, I wasn't there for, all these Conspiracies were available. Were they not?
I don't think they all were, but I don't...
We didn't record last week. Remember that.
Yeah.
I meant 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they weren't all up 2 weeks ago.
But okay. Are there any that weren't up that we really need to mention?
I find it interesting that Advantageous Proclamation actually lets you reduce your maximum deck size.
Minimum,
sorry. Because the maximum is unlimited. I like how in the video that they did for this, Marshall drafted how many Conspiracies?
Like a million.
But then he did this, and he actually played a 35-card deck, but a little ways into the game, everybody's like, should we kill Marshall? No, because he's about to deck himself. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking when I saw this card. Multiplayer, 40-card multiplayer is already too few cards for that many people. I wouldn't want to go any less than that.
And then, what would the land ratio count even be? Like, I don't know if I could do the math, you know? So I think I'd leave that one alone myself.
Yeah. I mean, if people want to add Conspiracies to their cubes and still do two-person matches, then yeah, Advantageous Proclamation would be cool to take for two-person matches. But in multiplayer, no, I wouldn't go for it.
Hmm. Word. Okay, so we're done?
I think so. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Now, let's get something, let's see, we need some music. What's some good conspiracy music? I don't have any good conspiracy music.
Private Eyes Are Watching You.
Private Eyes. I don't have that song. I love that song, but I don't have that song. I mean, I had to go.
Is that what they were saying in that song? I was like, privatize? I was never.
Oh my god. Privateers. Wow. The pirates are watching you. Arr. Oh,
parlay. Geez.
Parlay. You know what? Let's use some Pirates of the Caribbean music just for that. Because I have all of it for my mom. Because she loves that sort of thing. Oh, what's it called? Oh, what's the awesome piece? Oh, balls.
Theme from Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, it's not called that, unfortunately.
I know what you're thinking. It's basically the theme.
Yeah, it's somebody, he's a pirate or something like that.
Is that it? I think he's a pirate.
Really?
Hold on.
I've already got Wikipedia open. Here we go. It is called Bootstraps Boot. He's a pirate. Yeah. Played at the beginning of the credits.
Yeah.
It's not the one I was thinking of.
It's pretty epic.
I was thinking of.
It's awesome.
The one I was thinking of is Moonlight Serenade, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My mom, like I said, mom has all these on her iPod because, you know, I made it for her. And
I put
the Beethoven one?
Oh, not Moonlight Sonata, you numbnut.
I put He's A into YouTube, and He's a Pirate is the first one that comes up.
Of course it is.
I don't know what he's a mental giant. is, but maybe I'll listen to that later.
I don't know.
Oh, he's a bit of a fixer-upper. Ha ha ha.
Lame. Okay, so it'll be either he's a pirate. So yeah, he's a pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean, and it's by Klaus something. Klaus. Oh wait, I'm still on Wikipedia. Klaus Badelt. There we go. And it was awesome. So here we go. Be right back. So, I got to thinking. We went from parlay, which is wrong, to privateers that are watching you. And then we had the epic movie music. And you know what that makes me want to do? Something that we'll have to wait till next week to do. So let's do a silver circle instead.
You are very good at something, but I don't know what that is.
Stupid. Procrastinating.
Conspiracy has so many good cards that this quick little 20-minute conversation turned into 90!
Yeah, so, we didn't budget our time as well as we thought.
We're not going to talk about every card. Oh, Palaka won.
Let's talk about every card. So instead, we decided, Brian just threw this out, let's do a story circle around one of the brand new legendary creatures, right?
Yes.
Right. So we looked.
Chewy, yes.
Yeah, there are five. So alphabetical order, random.org, minimum one, maximum five, generate, go. Three. So that's Brago, Grinzo, Marchesa the Black Rose.
All right. We are going Grixis. She's the only one that's actually three colors, so we've actually got a little more leeway here.
So what she says is, to refresh your memory, one, a blue, a black, and a red. She's a human wizard. She has dethrone. She's a 3/3. Other creatures you control have dethrone. And whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, return that card to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of the next end step. So she gives +1/+1 counters. Well, she lets your creatures get +1/+1 counters. She brings them back, and she lets them hit opponents harder. Seems good.
Seems very good.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to go here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Does somebody want to get started?
Do you want to go in introduction order? I know we do that sometimes to keep it simple. Okay.
So that means Brian goes first?
All right. How much do you want to hate me?
Enough, well, sure. You can't branch into another color like you're famous for doing.
No. All right. Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna name Machias the Unhallowed.
Wow, yep, you're a jerk. Okay.
Yeah. Cause, yeah, it costs three colors and three black. It's a legendary zombie cleric. It has Intimidate. Whenever a human deals damage to you, destroy it. And up until now, I don't care, whatever. And then other non-human creatures you control get +1/+1, and have Undying, which means when that creature dies, if it didn't have a +1/+1 counter on it, return to the battlefield under its owner's control with a +1/+1 counter on it. And then the Black Rose says, when that creature with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, it comes back. I have now set the stage. You are welcome.
Okay, so hang on. So we're doing Marchesa. Okay, I'm going to keep my list as usual.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what was that again? That was Machias
the Unhallowed. M-I-K.
No, I can't spell it. Thank you.
I thought you said you can't spell it.
I can't spell it right then, but it took a second and then it clicked.
Okay. So okay. You're good. Okay.
All right. Well, Brian and I started off here on the same page.
Hey.
Because my pick is Flayer of the Hatebound. So for a red and five, he's a 4/2 devil with Undying. And whenever he or another creature enters the battlefield from your graveyard, the creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player.
Yes.
That's pretty freaking awesome, actually. So we've got a big things going to the graveyard and coming back thing going here. I like it.
So far.
Dark.
I'm coming up blanks right now.
Hmm.
I'm just not sure of what direction to roll in.
Roll in.
I know you guys have been rolling in the dies and comes back mode, but I just can't think of anything in particular that comes to mind for me.
So whatever you think. I mean, you got three colors to choose from.
Like, I feel like I could go the routes, like the normal's like, well, we'll go with Fireball or something like that, but.
What?
Oh, wait a second. Where is it? Spontaneous combustion.
There you go.
Because if your creatures die, oh darn, they come right back.
It's true.
Marchesa says you control. Okay, I didn't write that down. What was it?
He says spontaneous
combustion.
Hey, look at that. It's in the new set.
Dark dude on topic.
Just took a minute to figure out what'd be something good that would do that.
What's the freaking? Oh, there isn't something that gives all your creatures persist. It gives all your creatures the other one. No, persist. What's the new one?
Yeah, there is something that gives creatures persist.
Yeah, but that's minus one counter.
Yeah.
What's the good one? Where it comes back with a plus one counter.
Micaius is pretty much the one that does that.
No, there's a mechanic for that. It was undying. Persist, but undying. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, Micaius has undying. It gives all your other guys undying. Flare the Hatebound has undying.
Yeah, but there's nothing else that does that other than Micaius, which shoots my idea.
It's undying evil. Is that it?
Yeah, that's just a one-shot spell.
It gives something undying.
True. Oh, well. So let's see. I did a search for dyes in these colors. Because I'm glad that you guys went the way you did to start off with, because that's the way I wanted to go. And the first thing that I actually thought of before I started scrolling was Deathbringer Thoktar.
Cool.
When another creature dies, you can put a plus one counter on Deathbringer Thoktar, and you can remove a counter to ping a creature or player. And he's a 3/3 for 6 in black and red. So yeah, let's just do that. All right, second round.
I've had a couple different thoughts. And you know, so we got stuff, and it's dying, it's coming back, it's dealing damage. Oh, I know. I was trying to figure out what else I wanted to do. I just need the name of this one, but I should be able to,
what's it do?
Well, I'm gonna have the name for you in just one sec.
You took too long.
No, not yet.
Okay, now you
Curse of Stalked Prey. For one and a red, it's an aura enchant player. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to enchanted player, put a plus one counter on that creature.
Nice. Short,
simple, to the point. Keeps getting our guys bigger. And a way to get plus one counters if we either don't have her in play or whatever. So, ha ha ha. Sorry, I knew if I put Curse into Gatherer, I would get there.
All right. My pick. He's one of the members of a cycle, and he didn't get as much love as some of the other cards. But Slith Strider.
Yeah.
Is the blue Slith.
Oh, the blue one, yeah.
Yeah, for one and two blue, he starts as a 1/1. Whenever he becomes blocked, draw a card. Whenever he deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on him.
Sweet. Card draw or getting bigger. And if you got the Dethrone out, then he's going to get bigger anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So to spread the whole multiplayer, because you know, usually you'd probably find this in a multiplayer setting and everything, I have to go all the way back to, is it Conflux Block?
What?
Was the Three Lands? Charge of Alara. Blood Tyrant.
Okay.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Wow.
Dark went hardcore.
Yeah, well, Brian went hardcore, so I thought, let's go this way. So Blood Tyrant, flying and trample. At the beginning of your upkeep, each player loses one life. Put a +1/+1 counter on Blood Tyrant for each one life lost this way. So in multiplayer, he's going to get big fast. Whenever a player loses the game, put 5 +1/+1 counters on Blood Tyrant. Because everyone has Dethrone, he has Dethrone. He's going to be big. He's going to slap somebody in the face with the people's elbow.
Well, screw it. If you guys are going to go big, I'm going to go big, too. Know what I'm going to say?
What?
Vampiric Dragon.
Yay! Yes! The ultimate fusion of dragon and vampire. All we need is a vampire dragon planeswalker.
Well, don't worry. We'll get there. So it costs 6 of black and red for a 5/5 dragon with flying. And whenever a creature dealt damage by Vampiric Dragon this turn dies, he gets a +1/+1 counter. And for one in a red, he can ping creatures. I'm sensing a pattern here.
Yeah. Awesome pattern.
Sweet. Yes.
Pattern of stupid good.
this is some pretty good stuff here. I'm trying very hard to come up with something that's really creative and not just silly. But I guess because I haven't come up with anything ridiculously good, I'm going to have to go with what I was thinking of. It starts with lightning, and it's a creature, and it's got haste. And
lightning ball?
Spirit?
No.
Ball lightning?
Lightning spirit?
It's red and black, and it gets counters on it. And whenever it hits, Lightning Reaver.
Oh, that guy. He doesn't get +1/+1 counters, though.
No.
He
gets charge counters.
I don't care. He's in the right colors, and he wants to hit the opponent. If he gets +1/+1 counters...
Even better.
Great. Yeah. But he keeps up the theme of wanting to be aggressive. Be aggressive. And not let the opponent come back. Lightning Reaver, for 3, a black and a red, is a zombie beast. It's a 3/3. It's only ever been printed in shards of Alara, in new Alara. It's got haste, it's got fear. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, put a charge counter on Lightning Reaver. At the beginning of your end step, Lightning Reaver deals damage equal to the number of charge counters on it to each opponent. I just had a great idea. Keep going. Keep going. I already know what my next card's going to be.
Awesome. Since we have a bunch of big stuff, and I assume we'll probably – a finished deck might very well have some other Graveyard Shenanigans in it. Let's use another old card that we saw come back in Conspiracy and add Victimize.
Sweet.
Victimize was the cornerstone of the V deck in Standard, and you were sacrificing some tiny creature to throw Visara the Dreadful and Sylvos Rogue Elemental onto the battlefield. That wasn't Standard. That was like Extended or something. But yeah, V deck. That was Extended. I'm sorry.
Same whatever. Whatever, whatever. No one cares.
With Marchesa's whole... It's only if the creature has +1/+1 counters on it when it dies that it comes back to the battlefield.
Right.
One thing I thought that something that has, that naturally will come in and get +1/+1 counters if nothing else, and also something simple.
Okay. You know,
we got lots of big heavy hitters. We need something like to just sort of throw in there and build up. Cloudfin Raptor.
Okay. That's cool.
It's one of the evolved.
It's got evolves. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's the
so
one
with
drop.
The big ones, he's going to come in. He is very quickly going to get +1/+1 counters, and thus he's always going to be one of those guys who keeps reoccurring.
We do have a lot of heavy hitters in this deck. Mm-hmm. And he can just chump block.
Yeah, he
all
can chump block
long.
And come right back, and then, oh, you got another one. Okay, sure, I'll evolve.
And he's
I'll
not a
bigger.
Human.
Oh, I died so again? Oh, I'll come right back.
He's not a human, so if you've got Micaeus out, then woohoo.
Ooh, I got a small one.
All right.
Oh crap, I lost it. Hang on. It's the shaman guy.
Goblin shaman?
Rage Forger.
Rage Forger.
So Rage Forger, 2 in a red, 2/2 elemental shaman. Uncommon. When he enters the battlefield,
this guy, yes.
You put a +1/+1 counter on each other shaman creature you control, but that doesn't matter. Whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it attacks, you may have that creature deal 1 damage to target player.
And you can stack those in such a way that you attack the guy with the highest life total, put this ability on the stack, and then put the Dethrone on the stack, so that when Dethrone resolves, they're still high, even if...
The reminder text for Dethrone doesn't have an intervening if, so at first glance it shouldn't matter what order you do it.
Well, just either way, if you just want to be safe. Sweet. Well, some of you guys went small, but I immediately knew what I was going to do next. And it was really between two cards, one of which is blue, which we haven't done a whole lot of, although Dirk just did one, but whatever, and one of which is artifact. And I decided to go for the artifact because it's a little easier to do this over and over again. I'm going to name Contagion Engine. Cost 6. When it enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on each creature target player controls. So, hey, it makes your stuff easier to get through. Pay 4, tap it, proliferate, then proliferate again. So maybe you'll kill some more stuff, but oh, wait. +1/+1 counters.
God, this deck is fun. I might have to build this.
Yeah. Let's see here. I don't know if... I don't know. I
few minutes ago, I was thinking, after Dirk brought up that, you know, we don't have any cheap creatures, I thought about saying Rakdos Cackler, but I don't know. I think Rakdos Cackler is too small. So I'll go big again, and I'll go with a card that I like, Carnival Hellsteed.
Ah, sweet.
Wait, which one is that? That's the one with Unleash, right?
Yeah, that's the big Nightmare Horse with Unleash.
Yeah.
Is he a Nightmare Horse or a Demon Horse? Let's find out.
I do not remember.
Carnival Hellsteed. First Strike Haste Unleash Nightmare Horse, yes.
Yeah.
It's a 5/4 with First Strike and Haste and Unleash, so... Whew. It has two heads. Why'd it have two heads?
Me. Aggressive.
I'm pretty sure at this point this deck is not a defender deck.
No. Probably not.
This feels a little bit like Chewie's
Karavek.
Who's it? Yeah, Karavek deck.
Except with more shenanigans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So for mine, as I'm going through and looking at the +1/+1s and everything, came across one that he's again on the heavy side, but he's definitely going to be, he kind of plays into the, oh, you sacrifice this creature. Well, as long as it's got +1/+1s, it comes right back and it'll keep going and going and going. Grimgrin, Corpse Born.
yes.
Cause he comes in tapped. He's a 5/5 zombie warrior, comes in tapped and does not untap during your step, but if you sacrifice another creature, he untaps and gets a +1/+1 counter, and when he attacks, destroy target creature defending player controls, put a +1/+1 counter on him. Counter shenanigans.
That's pretty awesome. Now, what really pisses me off here is that I had the perfect one, and I accidentally hit the home button. And ended up scrolling back up to the top before my brain remembered what it was. And this whole time you guys have been talking, I've been scrolling up, trying to find the one that jumped out at me as brilliant, and I can't find it. I don't know what it was, and I hate myself and everyone else.
You don't remember what it does. Okay.
I just remember I saw it, and I went, oh, that's awesome. And then I said, oh, crap. And now I've just scrolled from the bottom of this Gatherer page all the way to the top, and I got nothing. And maybe I ended up on a different... because I've got two tabs open. That would piss me off worse. Oh, well. I did come up with something while I was scrolling that...
Okay.
It only costs 3, but I don't know how viable it is in this deck. But screw it, I don't care. What about Giralf's Messenger?
That's pretty good.
I was having a thought about that earlier. Because... I was reluctant to say it because I wasn't sure whether we were building a commander deck or a 60-card deck. And considering all the crazy stuff we've been saying...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a commander deck, yeah.
I mean, we started with...
So you'll find 3 black somehow.
That's true, yeah. So he costs black, black, black for a 3/2 zombie. He enters the battlefield tapped. When he enters the battlefield, target opponent loses 2 life, and he has Undying. Oh, wait, he has Undying. I thought this was the one that had Persist. Oh, well, that's fine.
No, that's Murderer's Red Cap.
Oh, so Giralf's Messenger is actually kind of terrible in this deck.
No, it isn't.
He's not
Marquesa awful. Will bring him back.
Oh, because Marquesa... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if he has a counter, he won't come back. Oh, no, wait. I just forgot about Marquesa. Okay, there we go. Then, yeah. Then that's awesome, and I chose wisely.
How many more are we doing? Because I have ideas for 2 more.
Let's see. But... That's 4. So we should do at least 1 more, but probably 2.
Okay. Death Pit Offering.
Oh, my God.
I had a feeling that was coming at some point.
That is 7 levels
of hilarity. Can I do this from memory?
I'm sure.
Maybe I should pull it up just to make sure.
You can do it.
Nah, that's okay. For 2 and 2 black.
I found it. Okay, sorry.
It's an enchantment. As it enters the battlefield, sacrifice all creatures you control. Ooh. And creatures you control get +2/+2. So it's 2 Glorious Anthems. You just have to sacrifice all creatures you control. But who cares? Because they're all going to come back anyway. And maybe there's like a... What's Mike's guy? You know, the devil? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
There's
that. Oh. That's incredibly good with the devil.
Yeah, sick, actually.
The devil approves.
Death Pit Offering, you lose.
Sweet.
Wow. I was having a similar idea to what Chewie thought he was saying earlier with Giralf's Messenger, to add Thunderblust so that the devotion, the dethrone can reset -1/-1 counter from Persist.
Oh, because Thunderblast isn't one that you sacrifice. Wait, is it?
Tell us what Thunderblast is.
Thunderblast costs 3 red and 2. It's a 7/2 elemental with haste. It has persist, and it also has trample as long as it has a -1/-1 counter on it.
Okay, yeah. So that's not one that dies at the end of the turn. It just usually dies at the end of the turn.
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
Okay, my turn?
Yeah.
So I've been sticking to blue and everything, and there's one more I want to do in blue, and then I want to go and check something for my last one. But for this one, again, to sort of fill out the lower one, you can throw a bunch of wizards, like cheap wizards and whatever, into this Sage of Fables.
There was my other one.
That's awesome.
Sage of Fables. And so wizards will come into the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it. But the neat thing is that you pay to remove a counter from any of your creatures and draw a card. Because we've been talking about a lot of guys who, you know, you get +1/+1 counters and this and that. And so to remove one to draw a card definitely has some viability.
Oh, yeah.
I completely agree. That's why I was going to say it.
That is hilarious. Oh, now it's my turn. Damn. So, I've come up with several options. But the one that I finally found, the one, and I ended up on the wrong gatherer tab, so I'm doubly pissed off. But the one I found that I had before is, G.H. Harvester of Souls. 4 black, it's a 5/5 demon with death touch. Whenever another non-token creature dies, you may draw a card.
Cool.
So, let me draw them cards. Son. Oh, now Brian doesn't know anymore.
I'm gonna need just a
second.
Oh, he was all set on the Sage of Fables, and Dirk just snatched it right out from under him. While we're waiting on Brian, I just want to say, the Vanilla Float Dr. Pepper ain't bad.
I don't think I've heard of that yet.
I saw it at Target when the 12 packs of Pepsi products were 4 for $10, and I said, you know what, I've already got 6 Mountain Dews. Let me try something else.
Okay. Are we going big or going home with this deck?
Well, I mean, just isn't do that whatever how we always do.
And what are we? We're attacking, and sometimes our stuff is dying. But we're pretty much killing them through either combat damage or direct damage.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Jitte for 2, please.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, why not? Umezawa's Jitte. Legendary artifact equipment. Whenever the equipped creature deals combat damage, put 2 charge counters on the Jitte. Equip cost of 2. Remove a charge counter from Umezawa's Jitte. Choose one. Because any one of these should be fine, but no, you get to pick. Either equipped creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn, or target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn, or you gain 2 life. Throw in some of the proliferate stuff I've already mentioned, and, you know, it also doesn't matter whether it deals combat damage to a creature or a player. So, have fun. Go nuts.
What does that cost to play?
2.
2, right. Yeah.
And 2 to equip.
That's why it's banned in Modern.
Is it banned in Modern?
Is it?
That's for the best.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's for the best. But here, good times.
Isn't it banned in Modern? Now I gotta go look.
I mean,
all right.
Stoneforge Mystic is, so that solves part of the problem.
Sets in legality. Here we go. Format, Modern, banned. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
It's not banned in any other format, is it?
Prismatic, Tribal Wars, Legacy, and Singleton 100.
And Popper.
And, shut up.
What?
It's banned in Innistrad Block, too.
Did you say it was banned in Legacy?
I said it was banned in Popper.
Tribal Wars Legacy. I don't know what that is.
Oh, Tribal Wars. I have no idea what that is. Yeah. It must be an online thing.
Probably.
After I thought Thunderblast, I had another very similar thought for Puppeteer Click.
Ooh.
For 3 and 2 black, it's a 3/2 fairy wizard with flying. When it enters the battlefield, you grab a creature from one of your opponent's graveyards. It gets haste, and then you exile it at the end of the turn. And Puppeteer Click has persist.
Sweet.
All right, so, okay, all of you guys, I need help.
Okay.
So, when sacrifice one of your creatures, opponents sacrifice one of their creatures.
You can either go with Grave Pact or Dictate of Erebos, which is Grave Pact.
There you go. Grave Pact was the one I was thinking.
You want death, You want Dictate of Erebos because it's easier to cast and has flash.
Okay. It's it was either that, but then I found another one that would be great as well that's similar to that, Butcher of Malakat. Malakir.
Oh, yeah, that's the Malakir. Great thing with legs.
He costs like seven.
It costs seven, so but he's a bit heavier flag. On it.
So you've got Grave Pact, which costs four. You've got the Dictate, which is a Grave Pact. It costs five, but less specific black, and it has flash. And you've got the Butcher of Malakir, which costs seven and has a giant vampire. Which of those do you want to use?
Yeah.
Just for this.
Put them all.
I mean, they're all great for what they do.
Just and again, pick one.
Yeah, pick one for the list. Ooh, I know. Here, I'll go Grave Pact / Dictate of Erebos / Butcher.
There you go.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Oh, they're the same thing.
Pretty much.
You have to put all the sliths on the line for my choice earlier then.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
If I had to go, my original one was Grave
Pact. No more! What? Okay.
The Grave Pact of the ones, that was the one I was thinking specifically for my spot.
Yeah, and I was the one that brought up the other one, so.
I don't know what the other sliths are called.
Bloodletter
Slith and the Hasty Slith, the awesome one.
Yeah, the one that I used all the hell out of and now can't remember. Hang on.
Well, it's just the ones that are in color, right?
Yeah.
Slith,
yeah.
Slith Firewalker.
Firewalker.
Here we go.
Hasty Slith. Flying and...
Slith, Bloodletter, Firewalker, and Strider.
Okay. What's the Bloodletter do?
Bloodletter has Regenerate.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Block him, don't block him. I don't care.
Slith. Bloodletter. There we go.
God, this is going to be... This is a...
Like, most of these that we're doing here don't have obvious things like those that are the same. So, this isn't fair. I had two that are completely different at the end of mine. But I think I'll go with the tried and true one rather than the dong. So let's go with the dong. Let's go with the Stalking Vengeance.
That's cool. You love some Stalking Vengeance.
I really do. He's so great. Especially in this deck where we want a bunch of our things to die. So Stalking Vengeance costs 5 red for a 5/5 avatar with haste. And it says, whenever another creature you control dies, it deals damage equal to its power to target player. So this works really great with the Flare of the Hatebound. Because it dies and it punches someone in the face, and then it comes back and it punches someone in the face.
Yeah. We'll have to leave it up to whoever finishes the deck to figure out how we're supposed to get our life total lower than our opponents with all the stuff that we're doing.
Well, if they're trying to kill us, they might do the... I don't know if we have to put in too much work into that. And if our stuff just isn't getting a little bigger, I think we'll be okay. Because there's a lot of other stuff here with +1/+1 counters on it.
Yeah.
I like how we just made a whole deck based around damage and +1/+1 counters, and nobody said Triskelion.
Too easy.
Perhaps. Yeah. I think that's great.
And actually, it didn't even occur to me. How about that?
Well,
Triskelavus.
It would actually fit in the deck pretty well. So if you want to use it, use it. But
I mean, there's lots of ways to fill out the deck with things that will stay alive, keep you alive, and eat up the lower end of your curve, like Blood Artist. You know, he'll be good, and little other evolved creatures and stuff like that.
Yeah,
to keep you alive. And you're probably going to want some spell somewhere that make you sack a creature just so you can start setting crap off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because, I mean, Dirk brought up the first one, the Spontaneous Combustion. So, yeah, there's lots of good stuff.
Right. I mean, like, Attrition would probably end up in a deck like this.
Yeah. You know, it's really weird. This is like a cross.
No, what's Goblin Trenches? What's the one I'm thinking about from Invasion Block?
Bombardment. Wait, no.
Trenches is from Invasion Block, but that's a red and white card.
I'm thinking of a black and red card that you can sacrifice creatures to get goblins. Am I making up a card?
That's a pretty cool card, but I don't know if it's real.
I'm gonna see if there's a real card. Keep going.
Anyway, so yeah, there's plenty of things you can throw in, any freaking number of things to throw in to do that.
Are you thinking shift this around in a lot of different ways?
Yeah. Are you thinking what?
I think Brian might be pressing together in his head somehow. Goblin Trenches and Drownoose Crusade.
What's Drownoose Crusade?
Something zombies.
Oh, yeah, that one. That's the heat right there.
With one, a black, and a red enchantment, all goblins get +1/+1, are black, and are zombies in addition to their creature types. I think I was probably just thinking about the trenches, but...
Oh my god.
I wasn't thinking of the trenches. I don't know. Keep going.
Wait, there is no keep going. We're stuck on this now. Because we must know. Okay, so black, red, add, and rules text, goblin, add, search. We got this. We have got this. There's Drowner's Crusade, and nope, you're thinking of something else.
I will find this other card.
Because there's all of four cards that are black and red and say goblin in them. Drowner's Crusade, Cathari Bomber, Rakdos Guild Mage, and Wart Boggart Auntie. Somehow I doubt it's those. Wart. So yeah. And you could throw Kevin Costner in there too, just for, you know, because. And there's probably a bunch of blue you could add in, and for some reason we all missed.
Yeah. You know, drawing cards, looting, something.
You know, things and stuff.
Unblockable.
Countering spells. Yeah. Landwalk, whatever.
something zombies.
Oh, coffee.
Better now. What's that other card from? I think that was also in.
I guess I'm looking. It looks like the card I'm thinking of does not actually exist. So.
Ooh, Deadapult. Deadapult could work.
Well, it's just zombies.
Oh, is it just not lame?
Yeah. Yeah, cause I remember people, some people that I knew, building decks with Drowner's Crusade and Deadapult. So they turn all the goblins into zombies and start throwing them.
Oh no. Falling goblin zombies.
Zoblin zombies?
I believe you mean Zoblin zombie.
I actually tried very hard to not say it that way.
Let's kill this episode. So if you guys want to check out all of these cards we talked about, there will be a link in the show notes and to a site, another page on the website, which will have all of these with the nifty little card pop-up thing. You know, so you can see these cards without having to type them in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or listen to us describe them.
Yeah.
Incorrectly.
Sometimes it's a little terrible. All right. So, how about some final thoughts, Mike?
Final thoughts. It was alluded to a couple times when we were talking earlier, but we never came out and said it. But at Lucky's, they're planning on doing a conspiracy draft this Friday. They're planning at around 10 o'clock after Friday Night Magic is over. And hopefully, well, I plan on going, and hopefully at least one of these other guys will be able to come.
I will be there.
All right. Chewie, do you think you'll show up?
I have no idea.
Okay. That's what I figured you'd say.
I mean, yeah, I'd like to, but I don't know if I'll even remember that Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'll be able to afford it.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, me or Brian would be able to spot you.
Yeah, but then
I'd have to pick that. Often do for each other for pre-releases and whatever.
That's fine. Do you even lift, bro? Could you spot me? But then I have to stand in a corner going, "Hurr!" And that's, no one wants to hear that. Jaeger bombs. Anyway. So is that all you got?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Is that all you got? Sorry.
How about you then, B? You're so, you know.
I'm hot. Our air conditioner, I don't know if I said this on the air or I might have just said it off the air, but our air conditioner broke. We have one unit for the downstairs and one unit for the upstairs, and the one unit for the downstairs is working just fine. A year ago, before we moved in, we did a final inspection and it felt like it was really warm upstairs, and we went back to them and we said, "Can you fix the air conditioner?" And the agent's response from the other side was, "It's being sold as is." And our agent was like, "Look into this or they may not move here." And so she's like, "Fine." And they apparently got somebody to come out and look at it and said, "Oh, you just need some coolant put in." So he put in some coolant and everything was hunky-dory. And we had some other issues, but we got past those. And here we are barely a year later and it's not working again. And we had somebody come out. Turns out there's a leak in a coil. So we have to get a whole new unit. The units are 15 years old, so those are past their lifetime anyway. The one downstairs is still working fine. If you think about it, hot air rises, so the one downstairs is not going to work as hard anyway. But it makes me wonder because the agent last time was trying very hard to keep their costs down. If their inspector came back and said, yeah, you've got a leak, you can either pay to fix, you know, buy a whole new unit, or you can just dump some coolant in there, because that's basically what our inspector said this time. If you don't want to pay the several thousands of dollars for a new unit, we can just put some more in there and see how long it lasts. So I can kind of envision them saying, you know, well, it's not going to be our problem for much longer, which, I mean, if I was moving out of a place, I wouldn't be dumping thousands of dollars into it either, but it just kind of makes me go, but hopefully we'll have it. Yeah. So hopefully we'll have it fixed. We've got, one quote, and we're having some other people take a look at it and give us quotes. And then hopefully this won't last much longer, because it's warm, and it's warm here now. Like, the forecast for the next couple days is hot. So yeah. Other than that, I'm good. I'm just warm.
You do have homeowners insurance, right?
Yes.
Will they pay some of that? Like, isn't that the point?
Sure. Well, I'd have to go into the policy, but, generally not. That's just normal wear and tear. I mean, homeowner's insurance doesn't cover everything that breaks in your house. It has to be due to specific events. Like if your house burned down, or a tornado struck it, or if someone stole it. But if you buy something and it's
don't
stopped,
steal my house.
If you buy something, if you buy a blender and it stops working, your homeowner's insurance is not designed to cover the blender.
Think like an air conditioning unit would be part of that. I don't understand insurance. I think everything that has anything to do with insurance is basically a ripoff. So that's why it doesn't work. Okay. I have renter's insurance because I have to, you know.
Dirk,
do you have insurance?
I do. I have also had some fun shenanigans that happened this week. When I mean by fun, I mean, but really what I'm looking for, and I'm on a high note, this week is when exams start. They'll finish up. This is high school. They will finish up next week. Graduation is next week.
All right.
So, yay! All I have to do is just get through this week and next week, and then I have the summer off to do grad school stuff. So really, I don't have a summer, but that's okay. I still get to spend more time with my kids, my two youngins.
I was going to say, and I don't get a summer either.
My wife just said none for me.
We won't ask
her. And I said adults. I loved her on air, too.
Oh, we are adults. We don't get summer vacation anymore. I mean, I got summer vacation in law school, but still.
Yeah. Well, there is one little tangent I will go on, and I'll try to get it really quick. So the whole thing in this state is the whole tenure thing, trying to get remove teachers from tenure. So I don't think a lot of people understand what the whole tenure thing is. So at work, what tenure says is that it doesn't say that we cannot be fired if we have tenure. All it says is that if a person's gonna fire us, they have to provide evidence of that we are a horrible teacher and that we deserve to get fired. There has to be evidence. Without tenure, what happens is that if I have a teaching job, and I don't coach, and they're looking at someone who's looking for a job and is willing to coach and can teach my class, they can fire me because I don't coach a sport, so that they can hire somebody who will do it. That's what tenure does. Tenure is just protection that if something happens, they have to provide evidence to say this person does a horrible job and deserves to be fired. Without it, I can be fired at any moment for any reason. Oh, you didn't pass this one kid? You're fired.
Well, I mean, that's clearly
that's all tenure does.
That's an important politician's daughter, so you know.
Exactly. You know, oh, you big politician and say, oh, you didn't pass my daughter? Goes to the principal, you know, flashes a little money here and there, and next thing you know, you're out of a job. And I mean, it's just a big hokey thing, because that's all tenure does. I can still be fired tomorrow if my administrator was like, yeah, your scores are down, you know, you just never have shown growth with your kids. You know, we're just going to have to find someone else. The job I got because they fired a teacher who was previously working in that position. So it does not prevent bad teachers from being fired.
all it does is say, if you're a bad teacher and you have it, that there has to be evidence that says, yes, you are a bad teacher. That's all it does.
Not just because Steve said, hey, he's a bad teacher. Oh, fire him.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I think a lot of people do not understand about this whole tenure thing and why it's so stupid.
We can't give our teachers job security.
Yeah, and now if I want, with the current budget and everything that's been proposed, if I want a raise, I have to give up tenure and everything. So, in other words, they're holding a raise hostage, holding my raise hostage.
Yeah, I was going to say, what Dirk is talking about is this new legislation that has come up, or budgeting thing, or whatever, to try to get teachers more money at the cost of their tenure in North Carolina. And I doubt it's going to sit as is, because, you know, the Democrats are going to get a hold of it. And
oh, well.
Because the Republicans wrote it, the Democrats are going to go over it with a fine-tooth comb and find all the problems, because neither side can get along.
Mm-hmm. No. That's one thing, is that, yeah, I thought in the 90s that it was pretty polarized. I was wrong. It's extremely polarized today, and I'm like, wow.
Partisan is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, what is it going to be in 10 more years? I'll probably be clawing to move out of this country.
Just don't go to Australia.
It'll be some dystopian future, and
I think so.
Somebody is going to wake up in a hospital, because that's how these things get started. And they're going to go outside, and someone's going to go, are you an elephant or a donkey? And he's going to go, what does that mean? What does that mean?
That's when the chase scene starts.
That's what I was about to say.
And then they'll cut to the first commercial, and half of the audience will realize it's stupid and not come back, and hopefully it won't make it through the first season.
I was comparing it to The Walking Dead. I didn't know you hated The Walking Dead so much.
No, I love The Walking Dead, but the elephant or the donkey thing, that's when people are going to start changing the channel. What? No.
It reminds them too much of reality.
Yeah.
And zombies.
Sucks. And zombies, yeah. Zombies are awesome, reality sucks. That's why I play video games. Oh my god, I started playing Skyrim again. God help me.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. What's Chewie's final thought?
My final thought? Okay, so I try not to repeat things between Monday Night Magic and this show too much, but this one was actually too big and important and personal for me to not repeat. So, long-time listeners, or even recent listeners, will know that when I'm not recording the show, life pretty much sucks. You know, I have this miserable job that I hate with every fiber of my being. They sent me home for 3 days again.
Really?
Yeah, on Friday, because I was, guess how many minutes late? Guess. It's hilarious. Five. Nope, three.
Three. That was just a guess.
Yep. And the reason I was late, this is the best part, is I was waiting on the dryer to finish because I'd washed all my uniforms. So yeah, and I put them on still, like the shirt was still a little wet, but whatever. So I get there and I get to work, because it's one day before end of month. They've already decided we're working Saturday, because it's end of month and we gotta push everything. So I come in and I'm working, you know, and hey, could you come outside for a minute? Yeah, come outside for a minute. And then they sent me home. I tried to give them an out. I'm like, look, it's end of month. This is not a punishment for me. I'm happy to not work today and tomorrow. That's brilliant. I am tickled to not have to come in on my day off. And to get an extra day off. This is not punishment. You sure you don't want me to work today and tomorrow and then give me 3 days off as my punishment or whatever next week? You know, that way it doesn't screw you. And they're like, sorry. I'm like, oh, well, sucks to be you. And I went home. Actually, I didn't go home. I went to see the parents in their new floor. Their new floor is cool, by the way.
So you are even working by the time they told you to stop working.
Yeah. I mean,
on end of month stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and everything from that day had been delayed because the system crashed. So the only thing there was to do was ship all the leftover stuff from the day before, which me and a coworker were doing. Just, brrr, all right, let's start shipping. And yeah, I think I clocked maybe 20 minutes that day. So whatever, you know, I went to see the parents' new floor, and the new floor is cool. It's like a laminate of some sort instead of wood, and it's got a rubber underlayer, so there's a little bit of spring, and it doesn't squeak, like, and it doesn't scratch, and it doesn't stain, and Mom thinks it's the greatest thing ever. And actually, I spent a large chunk of time with Squanto on Saturday, like 8 hours. Like, Mom and I went to see X-Men. By the way, X-Men Days of Future Past, amazing! Stay till the end of the credits. And then I walked in the door and Squanto sent me a message, hey, let me know when you're not doing anything tomorrow, come see the new man cave. I was like, I'm not doing anything right now. So I went to his place, I left here at 4 o'clock. I came back home, I left his place at midnight.
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome, it was like old times. Squanto, for those that don't know, is a friend of mine from freshman year of college. And then we met up again after college, and he was actually one of the initial co-hosts of this show. So yay, Squanto. But yeah, he's got the new man cave. He's got the same floor, slightly less bounce in it, but still really cool. Giant projector, or a giant projection screen television. And he played a few seconds of Trials Fusion, like a new downloadable game in high def. And that big from a projector, it is still high def. It was amazing. So yeah, anyway, that's all only tangentially related. But yeah, after talking with Squanto for a while, there's something I've been fighting with internally for a long time. And
indigestion?
That too. But that's because of my diet, which is okay. Terrible. It's like pizza and beer without the beer. It's just pizza. But people might be surprised by this because I'm very happy-go-lucky. I'm always usually in a good mood when there's people around, you know. And I try to be positive for the most part, other than it sucks, you know, other than that. And I've come to realize that I'm actually depressed. I don't have depression. Like, it's not a chemical imbalance in my brain where
it's not something that interferes with your ability to live a normal.
Right. Like, it's not something that I can't fix myself. And then the hard part, apparently, from the friends I've known that have it, is living with it up until it's diagnosed. And then you get the hormonal imbalance fixed and you're much, much better. You're not 100%, but you're able to deal, you know.
Yeah.
This is not that kind of depression. This is the kind of depression that comes from life sucking. So it's not that I have depression, it's that I am depressed. I'm bummed out. And, like, I realized this when Squanto was like, dude, are you interested in Watch Dogs at all? A new game that just came out. And I was like, I honestly don't care. And he goes, oh man, this game's coming out. I'm really excited about it. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. And he looked at me. He's like, what? I'm like, I don't care. He's like, but you've played all the, it was Grand Theft Auto 5, and then we were talking about the new Batman game. He's like, you've played all the others. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I just don't get excited about stuff anymore. He goes, you know, that's one of the, like, telltale signs of depression, right? Is no more interest in your hobbies. And I was like, I'm still interested in my hobbies. He's like, are you? When's the last time you played a game of Magic? And I went, He's like, when's the last time you played a video game? I'm like, last night? He goes, before that? I was like, He's like, are you sure? And he and I talked some more, and I realized, yes. Like, it's something that's been in Mike and I have actually had a smaller version of this conversation in the past. Mm-hmm. At least I think it was Mike.
Yeah, I remember a small conversation.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that they're right. Like, the reason that the Super Secret Project isn't done yet, and is the same reason that, like, the Three Questions from Vegas isn't out yet, it's because I have X amount of nights a week, right? Usually it's 7, because, you know, that's the number of weeks, or the number of days in a week. So I record Monday Night Magic on one of them, and then I have to put together Monday Night Magic, so that's 2. I record this show, I have to put together this show, that's 2 more. And there's social obligations, you know, hanging with friends or females or going to the movies with mom, because, you know, that's what we do. And so, like, my free time is limited, but I still have free time. And I come home from work, and I sit down, and I'm so full of misery and rage and hate and that I sit down and I turn on the Xbox and I boot up either Netflix or YouTube and I just stare at it until I feel better. You know, I'll just let everything drain out of me. And then I go, all right, let's get to work. And now it's like 11:30. I got to go to bed soon to do it all again tomorrow. And like previously, I had MTGcast to distract me. You know, I had this work that had to get done. It's all time sensitive. Other people are counting on me, blah, 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 blah. And I had to do it. And now I don't have that anymore. So there's nothing to distract me from anything. Like, there's all this work that I need to do, but no one else is counting on me to do it. It's just sort of sitting there waiting on me, so, And I've realized that I spend more and more time doing nothing. You know, people are like, well, Chu's really busy. No, he's not. Like, I used to be, and I should be, but I'm not. Even the Super Secret Project, I haven't, before, you know, this weekend, I hadn't done any real work on in, like, 2 or 3 weeks. And that's
the last time they sent you home.
Pretty much. So, yeah, it's something I've been fighting with for a while. I finally admitted it to myself. I spent a couple days dealing with it, and now I'm good to share it with the rest of you because, I mean, people that know me, this is not something they would expect. At least people that know me casually, you know, because, like I said, I'm always if I'm not a seething ball of hatred directly at somebody, like at work, then I'm always in a good mood. You know, when there's people around. Even when there's not people around, I'm usually in a good mood. I don't sit here and hate things. I just sit here and do nothing because I have no drive, no motivation, no energy to do anything because all this crap is in my brain and I can't let it go. And when I do finally let it go, I have to go to bed and do it again tomorrow. So, yeah. So I've taken small steps, which is something that Slick Jagger, who was on Monday Night Magic with us, said. He's like, you need to take small steps and just find some part of your life and improve it. And as that gets better, you can move to something else. And da 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 da. And that's why I've started playing video games again. I've been playing things like Dead Island and Skyrim and Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions and Injustice. Yeah, these are all games I've played in the last, you know, 5 days. And, yeah, they're, I try to, you know, let you guys know about these personal things that are going on in my life to try to give you, you know, some sort of message. But I have no message this time. I'm just letting you know what's up. And that's why all these talks about the big things coming and all the merchandise we're going to get and all of that, why nothing's happened yet. And I realize that now, which is why I've been working on it so hard these last few days. Yeah, now that I see the problem, I can hopefully get around the problem because, you know, I have a degree in physics and that's good for absolutely nothing but problem solving. So
pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is all just flowing out of me now. I'm very sorry. My final thoughts tend to do that a lot, though. So
they do. I mean,
but yeah. So more as it develops, I'm gonna try to not come home from work every day and just sit and stare at nothing. I'm gonna try to actually do something while I'm at it, because then maybe I can get the hell out of that horribly toxic environment. Anybody hiring? Anybody? No. Okay. So. Yeah.
I think we are, but I don't know what you do.
Oh, well, send me a link.
You could be an intern. I, you know, other attorneys that I've talked to have interns for the summer. I didn't take any this year, so if you want to be my intern, that's fine.
Is it a paid internship?
No, but that's actually kind of funny. I was talking to another attorney, and he said the Supreme Court has actually decided very recently that if you have an intern – and if you're giving them busy work that is, as a lawyer, this is only for lawyers. If you have an intern and if you're giving them busy work that is not advancing their career, and it's basically like get coffee and stuff, you have to pay them.
You have to pay them. That makes sense. Yeah.
So, go get me some coffee. Wait, I don't drink coffee. I guess I'd have to
and
actually.
I don't make coffee, so.
I guess I'd actually have to give you work to, you know, advance your legal career.
Balls.
So,
yeah, I mean, the reason that I'm still at this job is because I can't afford to not get a paycheck. So, you know, otherwise I'd just quit and sit here and get all this stuff done quickly. Wouldn't that be awesome? And yes, it would. But anyway, so yeah, I'm not looking for sympathy or anything. That just pisses me off, so don't do that. But, poor Chewie, shut up. But, like I said, I see the problem now. I'm aware of its existence rather than just living in it. You know, it's like being in the fog and you step out of the fog and you turn around and see the fog bank that's not attacking because you're not an idiot.
Well, what if it's like a 2020? You just gotta
swing with it. Yeah. Okay. So with that,
there's so many things that card does say.
We love you, Mike. So with that, I'm gonna shut up now. So this has been episode 325 of the Mana Pool. Thank you all very much. I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at Mike. Thank you all very much for listening and, laugh at Mike. Go play some Magic.